Brian Noonan is playing on the radio, baby.
I'm better looking, I have better hair, I'm deceivingly smart, and I want everyone else to do what I say.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight. Oh. Yeah, it's the big show. Come on, crank it up and turn on all the lights, y'all. Oh. Well, get ready for something that you'll never know. You won't see it coming, but I promise you'll know. The big show.
Well, good evening. Welcome. Glad you're with me. It's Brian Noonan in for Justin Kaufman on 720 WGN here until 11 o'clock. Firmly ensconced in the Allstate Showcase studio on a very rainy and blustery Michigan Avenue. A lot of people wearing white, myself included, that pretty much figured we weren't going to get too wet, and that was a mistake. But anyway, big show planned for you tonight. It's always more fun, though, when you are involved. 312-981-7200. That is the phone. That is the text. When you call in, you'll be talking to Lise Graham, the executive producer of tonight's big broadcast. As always, if you are nice to her, you get to me. That's how it works. And if you like keeping in touch with us on social media, Facebook and Twitter, it's Brian Noonan Show. Rob Martyr, good to see you. Be back in the saddle with you again for a few hours.
Nice to see you, my friend.
It is.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going very well. Big,
good.
Big weekend. Now we're here on a Wednesday. It's, you know, everything's coming up roses, Rob.
Downhill from here, my friend.
Oh, come on. We just coast into the weekend. It's Father's Day coming up.
Nice.
We'll talk about that a little later. As a dad, I know you and I probably, can't wait to see what gets unveiled for Father's Day.
You've been through this before. Your daughter is at Tulane. My twin boys are graduating from high school this weekend.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm very proud of them.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you.
That is terrific.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man, look at that.
I know. Becoming young men right before my eyes.
Yes, and they're thinking, oh, my dad's becoming an old man right before our eyes. So it's a weird thing when your child when your child graduates from high school, because it is a big milestone, and you start thinking, oh, wow, we've been around a long time.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, and next year, I'm looking at college graduation next year. That's a really long time. Very long time. Hey, later on today, and this I know this will interest you, Rob, as a huge hockey fan and all Blackhawks fans, the NHL draft is coming to town June 23rd and 24th. We're going to talk to Steve May from the NHL. We're going to find out all about the big draft fest. And then at 8:30, we're going to talk to people from the Chicago Film Office. A lot of production in town. Oh, man, it's been getting more and more and more. Even Sunday morning, Michigan Avenue shut down because Dwayne The Rock Johnson was in town filming Rampage. I'm guessing that's a romantic comedy. Would I be, you think I'd be off base with that estimation?
It sounds like a love story.
Yeah, Rampage.
Yeah.
So we'll do that. Then Paul Morello from the Greater Chicago Food Depository will join us at 9 o'clock. And after 10 o'clock, if you are going to be in Aurora this weekend, and even if you're not going to be in Aurora, you might want to think about it. It's Blues on the Fox, a big blues festival out in Aurora on the heels of the big Chicago Blues Festival. And we are going to be joined in studio by Nicholas David, a wonderful, wonderful artist. Sounds like Dr. John. This guy's really good. He was a finalist on The Voice a couple years ago from St. Paul. He's going to be here. We're going to find out all about the fest and hear some good music after 10. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk to Andy Field from ABC. Find out if there's any updates, anything new from what happened today in Alexandria. Just we know the facts. Rob's been reporting on it as well as the newsroom all day. And you heard Roe go live with the police chief. And it's just another horrible incident of gun violence. And just, a lot of people talking about mental illness. And you got to figure, well, if somebody shoots somebody else there, you have to have a little mental problem. There's not sane people doing these acts. So a lot to cover with Andy, but it's going to be fun. I'm happy. This is so selfish of me. I'm very happy it rained today. I know a lot of people probably are miserable that it's raining, but quite frankly, my lawn, Rob, was your lawn like mine, getting brown and crunchy?
It was. It was looking really vibrant and full for a while there, and then over the last, a week?
Last week, got too hot. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm not, so now I'm like, okay. I wasn't going to cut it when it was all brown. I just let it go.
You know, I'm all about being green. I didn't want to get the water out there and, you know, unnecessarily No, drench the lawn.
This also means that tomorrow morning I don't have to water the flowers.
Right.
Because God is watering them for me.
That's right.
Yeah, look at that. God picking up the labor. All right, let's do this. And then, oh, man, that's a nice lead in to talk to Andy Field and find out what's going on in Alexandria. All right, we'll do that on the other side. Brian Noonan in for Justin Kaufman, 720 WGN. We've been following the story all day, the shooting of Congressman Steve Scalise of Louisiana, along with some of the Capitol Police and another aide. And Andy Field has been covering this as well for ABC News all day. He's taking a few minutes to join us now. Andy, thanks for taking some time tonight. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's well, things have calmed down just a tad here in Washington, although it's been quite a day. And you know, there is an Illinois connection, we know, with this gentleman who was a suspected shooter, 66-year-old James Hodgkinson of Belleville, Illinois. I'm not quite sure where that is.
It's down near, just across the river from St. Louis.
All right. Well, the congressman who represents that district, I spoke with him earlier tonight, Illinois Congressman Mike Bost. And apparently his office has had quite a bit of contact with Hodgkinson over the last year. He told me that Hodgkinson contacted his office, sent him emails 9 times since last June, and left a voice message saying how unhappy he was with Republican policies in Congress and asking to change them. Now, Boss never reported this to anyone because they didn't sound threatening. He just sounded upset, like most constituents are when
they
don't get what they want.
Yeah, and those kind of calls, I'm sure every representative gets those kind. But it, in his opinion, just to repeat that, he didn't think they measured up to any sort of threat.
That's correct. You know, he said he was angry about the Republican agenda, but there was no threatening in there. One of the interesting things here, and to really just boil down the timeline on when he was in Illinois, when he was in Illinois and when he was here in Washington, the congressman told us that there were reports in St. Clair's County and the Sheriff's Department in March that the Sheriff's Department was called to his home back in Illinois because of reports of gunshots being fired in the back of his home. It turned out that, and I'm not quite sure what this is, I'm not a gun expert, but he said it was 30-30 target practice in his backyard.
Okay.
So apparently he was back in Illinois back in March. And then following that timeline, I've talked to a lot of people who had some contact with this guy. There was a mayor in Alexandria, Virginia, a former mayor. His name's Yule. And he goes to the YMCA, which is not far from where this shooting happened in Alexandria, Virginia. And folks in Chicago who don't know the area, it's literally right across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C., not very far. That's where they were practicing
today.
Right,
for the game.
Right. So the former mayor goes to the gym at the Y every day, and he says for the past month and a half, he saw this guy go in the shower, working out every day, and at one point they even struck up a conversation because the former mayor looked at his gym bag and it appeared that he was living out of his gym bag, that he was homeless. He had everything he owned in this bag. So the mayor, who's a community-oriented guy, said, you okay? Everything okay? He goes, yeah, I could use some work. And the mayor said, well, what do you do? And he said, well, I'm a home inspector. And the former mayor, who is a general contractor, says, let me see if I can help you find some work. So they had a very cordial relationship.
Okay. And I know reports are coming out now, and maybe you've seen these too, Andy, that he did have some run-ins, not really with the law, but with the government in St. Clair County, with the, you know, checks that he supposedly was owed, and he's been described as irascible and cranky. But none of that really, a lot of us can be described as irascible and cranky. That doesn't mean we're going to go and start shooting at people.
Yeah, that describes pretty much the entire news business.
Very true.
That's true, and this is a real issue here. But the bigger issue here is that you had a gathering of quite a few lawmakers in one place in a very open field. No one in their wildest imagination would think that someone would come and shoot up a baseball practice or even know that that baseball practice existed. So this guy had to do some intelligence work on his own to know that this was happening. But it was a very frightening thing, and I'm sure your listeners may have gone on the internet and seen this video that was posted of the actual shooting and a shot of Steve Scalise curled up on the field, incapacitated by the shooting.
Yeah, it was horrible visuals. Our newsman, Rob Martyr, has a question for you, Andy.
Yeah, Andy, earlier today, Alexandria, Virginia police said that Hodgkinson had been in the D.C. area for roughly about 3 months, I guess since about March is what they said. But they wouldn't say when asked if they had contact with Hodgkinson. They were a bit coy about that particular question. Have you gotten any further information about whether or not local police have had contact with him?
Not that I know of, and I think they know that from some of the same information I just gave you from the former mayor who said he had contact with him at least for the last month and a half, and of course from this politician on the Hill who has now released all this email and phone records to police for them to investigate. But as far as I know, he hasn't had any contact with local police or any run-ins. That we may find out differently soon. We do know he has somewhat of a checkered law enforcement record, a lot of speeding or parking tickets and some other issues that he's had, but nothing that would amount to a big red flashing light says this guy's a threat, we should give him a closer look.
Now, Andy, it's very early, obviously, in the investigation, but the FBI and the police are asking for tips. Are they giving any indication that they think this is anything other than just a lone nut who decided to go to Washington and do this?
No, they're playing this pretty close to the vest, so we don't have any other details other than they're looking into this here. But certainly it appears that he did this and acted alone. He came literally loaded for bear with the amount of ammunition and the two weapons he had.
There were early reports, and have you confirmed that he asked a couple of congressmen who were leaving practice if those were Republicans or Democrats? Has that been confirmed? Because that was bouncing around early.
Yeah, ABC News did a special, and I don't know who the congressman was, but he did speak to Aaron Katursky and relayed exactly that he was one of the congressmen that this man talked to while they were getting in their car leaving practice early this morning, and had asked, are those Republicans or Democrats playing on the field? I think they acknowledged they were Republicans. That was the last they saw of him. Then when they saw his picture and got the police description, they're pretty certain that that is the guy who asked them that question.
Now, and we know the Capitol Police were there because Steve Scalise is in the leadership team, so he had a detail with him. And I'm asking you to theorize something. Do you think they'll start giving security if there's going to be a big gathering of congressmen or congresspeople from now on?
I can tell you tomorrow night's baseball game may be the most secure baseball game in the history of baseball. I'm going to be at the Nationals Park reporting on this tomorrow night. And, this is something they've done this for years, and this kind of almost is a throwback to more genteel times when Democrats and Republicans got along and spent a lot more time with each other, didn't fly home every few days to their districts and ignore each other here. So, and it's one of the few times where Democrats and Republicans smile, shake hands, and have a good time together.
Right.
But what's interesting is that no one really paid much attention to this game. You know, it was, yeah, that's nice. And, you know, you might get a 5-second mention on the local news, but that's about it.
Right.
It's going to get a lot of mentions tomorrow night.
And the security issue, because these people in Congress, they're just regular folks. They live their life outside of the Capitol. We can't give everybody protection.
That's true, and there is really no discernible need to do that.
Right.
If you come up on Capitol Hill, if you go into any federal building here in Washington, and you've lived here for any amount of time, you will notice a tremendous difference in security now versus 10, 15, even 30 years ago. You know, I came here back in the 80s, and you could literally park your car across from the White House in Lafayette Square and walk across the street. You could drive your car on the east side of the White House all the way around the White House because there just wasn't any, you know, there wasn't that kind of threat. And it was after the Oklahoma City bombing in the 90s when that all changed and barriers went up and roads were closed, and it's become a fortress city.
One last thing before I let you go, Andy. Do we have any update on the conditions of Congressman Scalise or the other victims today?
The last time I heard, he was still in critical condition, which is not a good sign. He went into surgery today. The first things we heard was, he's expected to survive.
Right.
He was out of surgery. We were told he was brought back into surgery, which is also not a good thing, and that he had lost a good deal of blood. So We don't know where that bullet hit. We're told it's the hip, but that's where the femoral artery is,
yeah.
And that is a very dangerous place to be shot.
Well, we will be listening tomorrow and following the story throughout the night. Andy, I appreciate you taking some time tonight. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Take care. That's Andy Field, ABC News correspondent, with what we know now and what we continue to learn in this developing investigation. All right, let's do this. Then it'll be news time, and then we will talk a little NHL draft party. That's right. It's all happening here in WG. Wow. Lee's throwing a little depression on us. A little wet blanket. Sorry. It is a rainy night. It is Monday. But, no, it's Wednesday. I don't even know what day it is. See, this song depressed me so much I forgot what day it was. I do know that I'm Brian Noonan in for Justin Kaufman. I do know that the NHL draft is coming to Chicago the weekend of June 23rd and 24th. I do know that because the draft is going to be here, the NHL Draft Fan Fest is also in town outside the United Center on June 23rd and 24th. That's about all I know. But, thankfully, I know people who know people and who know things, and Steve Mayer is one of those people. He is the NHL Chief Content Officer and Executive Vice President. He joins me now on WGN. Steve, welcome. Thanks for taking some time.
Brian, thank you for having me, and I'm going to try to get you out of your depression.
No, just thinking about the Blackhawks playing again makes me happy. I know the season just ended. Another great victory for the Penguins, so that was terrific. But everybody here in Chicago is looking forward to the season, and that starts with the draft. Now, you've been with the league just a couple years, but you've come in and you've changed things around from an entertainment standpoint. When you look at these big events like the draft or like the Winter Classic or the Stadium Series, people are going for the game, but in your mind, it's so much more, correct?
Yeah, that is correct. We know we have an incredible product on the ice, and we know our fans just got through watching the Stanley Cup Final are clamoring for the beginning of the new season. But we also know, that there are other interests, and there's also other casual fans out there that, we need to do everything we can to get them to watch a game, because we feel, however we bring them in, we'll get them hooked. And I think we saw it at a huge level in Nashville over the course of the playoff run and Stanley Cup Final. Country music fans, celebrity fans, came in droves to watch the game, watch hockey, watch the Stanley Cup Final for the very first time, and they're hooked. And, we really believe that we can continue to do that, and we want to make it fun not only for, those who have been NHL fans for years and years, but the new fans and families, and do things that, families can say, they had a lot of fun participating in. So, we're off and running, and we look at the draft coming up as another great opportunity to do things not only inside the arena, but outside the arena.
It used to be, the draft just happened. Nobody really paid attention. And then in years gone by, the NHL started making it more of a production. The NFL, NBA, everybody started putting a lot of effort into the draft because they knew fans were interested. But now it's become, as you said, something that the whole family can enjoy, especially if they come to NHL Draft Fan Fest, because there's a lot of stuff that even if you're a serious fan, you're going to love it. If you're a casual fan, a lot of what's going to be happening over the 23rd and 24th might turn you into a more serious fan.
Yeah, there's no question. And what the Blackhawks have really embraced is the fact that, this is an event. And, it's coming to Chicago. The draft itself is super interesting and fun. And to your point, we are trying, and I think all leagues are, looking at their draft as another event in the calendar. But what's happening in Chicago is very unique. We started something last year in Buffalo, and we're taking it to a whole nother level this year in Chicago. A draft fan fest that's going to have a live concert on Friday night. And one of the unique parts of this particular year for the NHL and what we're bringing to Chicago is our Centennial Fan Arena. It is the NHL's 100th year. We've been celebrating throughout the year various events, and what we have been doing and taking to cities all across North America is the Centennial Fan Arena. And we're excited that we're able to bring it to Chicago in this upcoming weekend or the following weekend. You know, it involves a museum truck. It involves a truck that shows outdoor videos and has a stage, and we'll bring alumni and other participants into that. We've got a rink that's associated with it. We've got some VR games. You can race against a friend in a Zamboni race.
I wanted to talk to you about that Zamboni virtual reality, right? That sounds, it all sounds fun, but that sounds really fun.
Yeah, that is. It is. So, you know, you're going head-to-head, racing around a rink, like you're on top of a Zamboni, and you're racing against whoever you come with or side-by-side, and it's virtual reality. I mean, it is the future of a fan experience. It's a lot of fun. We usually get, you know, huge lines. Everybody loves to do it. It's quick but fun, and it is one of the highlights of our fan arena. And I guess the coup de grace is the Stanley Cup.
I was going to say, you can't leave that out. The Cup's going to be in town, and people go crazy for it.
Now, I think people would rather have it in town after the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup.
Exactly.
But, yeah, it's great. And again, an opportunity to take a picture in Chicago. It's going to be at the Spant Fest on Friday from 3 to 8 and on Saturday from 9 to 2. And, yeah, this is the opportunity. This is a great chance. Take your picture with the Cup.
Tell us more about this museum truck, because it sounds, just from reading the description, I don't understand how you can transport this. It sounds giant.
Yeah, it's really large. And what we love about it is, no matter where it's gone, and we've gone through a half of year, we've got another half year to go, we're going to every single one of our NHL cities. And what happens in each of these cities, and you'll see it in Chicago, it's tailored to the Blackhawks, the history of the Blackhawks,
Very
the
cool.
history of the NHL, which is really cool. It's got memorabilia inside. It's got a photo montage. There's a social media wall. You can also take a picture inside that you could take away as if you're in the locker of the Blackhawks. Really cool. You have to experience it. And you could spend hours in there, especially if you're a fan of the history of the NHL, just, you know, interactive touch screens, talking about the teams, the players, the moments, the memories of the NHL.
Now, you mentioned the concert too. Neon Trees are going to kick off NHL Draft Fan Fest on the 23rd. When you're putting together this, because you serve as the executive producer for the NHL Draft, so you put this all together. Do you have like a pie chart where you go, all right, the music needs to be this much, the arena has to be this much, the look has to be, how do you come up with the overall concept for this huge production?
Now, listen, I think, again, you touched on it earlier, the draft has become a big deal for all sports. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we look at it, you know, we want it to be a full experience. You know, take in the Centennial Fan Arena before the game, go to a concert. You know, the concert will take place an hour before the draft begins. Go inside, get a taste of the draft. The draft is really unique. And this year, you know, for those who have seen the draft in the past, when you walk into United Center, it's going to look very different. We've changed the set. This year, for the first time, we've got a green room where the players will be in the green room many of the times, which is unique to the NHL. Players are seated with their families in some of the sections and uniquely come out of the stands. The other thing which we haven't replaced, which we do think is unique to the NHL draft, every single team has a table on the floor. So they draft from the floor,
okay,
and they all come up from the floor. We think that's kind of cool and very different and unique to the NHL. But it is a great experience, and it's a chance to see the future of the NHL get drafted before your eyes. But for, you know, when you talk about a pie chart, it's really giving everybody this sort of this full experience so that they leave and can talk about a lot of different areas, not just the draft, but the entire experience. And we hope that everybody, you know, will enjoy the NHL draft coming to Chicago. And again, the Blackhawks have been incredible, their management in supporting all of the NHL's efforts to make this a great weekend.
They do a great job here all the time, so it's no surprise that when they're in partnership with the league for something like this, that it's going to be great from both ends. Just one last thing. When when this is all happening, and now I kind of forgot where I was going with this. But first of all, is there a cost for the FanFest? I know it was $10 for a ticket to get into the draft, but can people just come to the United Center that day and experience all the stuff outside?
It is free to the public, and whether you have a ticket or you don't, we welcome you. Again, the hockey experience to celebrate and experience the NHL's centennial year is what we have made it a point to be free so that everybody can get that chance no matter where we've gone, and Chicago will be no different. Neon Trees, free as well. So what a great show to come and just enjoy. We hope that the weather is great. It's a great weekend. The buzz is going to be certainly there.
Oh, yeah.
Every single team comes from all over North America. They've got their representatives here. And let's face it, there'll be some gems that they'll draft. And, a lot of teams' futures could be dictated on starting on Friday night.
And looking ahead, is the goal to take this NHL Draft Fan Fest to all the franchise cities as we go forward, or is it going to be something where, well, if one city does it really well, maybe we'll keep it there? What's the plan?
We have consistently moved the draft around, and I don't see us changing that anytime soon. Teams do like the draft, mm-hmm. and all of our events coming to their city, same thing with the outdoor games.
Oh, yeah.
We really do try to mix it up. We do hold our awards and have held them consistently in Las Vegas. But all these other events, we really do try to mix it up and give all our fans a taste of, one of our special events. And I think draft will be the same. But I do think when it comes to just, the overall experience, it's something that, with our outdoor games, with our all-star game, with our draft, with our awards, we just want to do more than just the event itself.
Right.
And I think that that's here to stay as well. And we're just going to grow those fan fests more and more, even outside the centennial year.
Well, Steve, we're looking forward to the league coming to town on June 23rd and 24th. And everybody should try to get out to the United Center parking lot for the NHL Draft Fan Fest. I really appreciate you taking some time tonight, Steve. Great to talk to you.
Likewise, and we look forward to seeing everybody when we get to town. And we think it's going to be a great weekend.
All right, Steve. Thanks again. That is Steve Mayer. He is the NHL Chief Content Officer and Executive VP. He's also the executive producer for the NHL Draft. You heard Roe say earlier, they're going to be broadcasting there on Friday, the 23rd, the draft 23rd and 24th. So it should be a lot of fun. Just go to the United Center. It's all happening in the parking lot. Wonderful, wonderful things. Let's do this. Then there's more. It's WGN. That's happier. That's a little, that's more chipper. That's what we like to hear. No, that's fine. I told you you could play whatever you wanted, but then you played Rainy Days of Monday and you got me all sad. That's Lise Graham. She is producing the big broadcast. I'm Brian Noonan. I am hosting the big broadcast. Justin Kaufman, I don't know what he's doing. I can't tell you.
I want to thank Brian Noonan for going on.
I thought I'd just play that for you. That was one of the highlights of my time anywhere. That was Bill Murray thanking me on stage the other night. I was hosting an event, and he was inducted. It was fun. All right, this is a strange little thing. If you have ever been to the Avon Lake Public Library in Ohio, which you probably haven't, I have not, but it's a mystery. A mystery is unfolding there. People are scratching their heads as to why someone keeps leaving empty A1 sauce bottles around the building. They're doing it all over since January. Employees have found 30 of the 10-ounce containers hidden on shelves among newspapers and magazines. All were clean with just a hint of the sauce odor inside. I don't think you can ever get rid of the sauce odor. You can clean out the bottle, but you cannot get rid of the actual odors. According to the library, because library people are very detailed, so they were going to figure this out. They mapped, according to the library's page supervisor. We mapped the first 12 to see if we could find a pattern. Boy, it's got to be a slow day at the library when you are mapping where you found 12 empty A1 bottles. We could be rewriting the Dewey Decimal System. We could be organizing the card catalog. I don't even know if they have card catalogs in libraries anymore. They probably do. I'm guessing in Avon Lake Public Library in Ohio, they still have a card catalog. Everything's not on microfiche or on the internet. I like the old card catalog. I don't understand it, but I like to use it. Anyway, they mapped the first 12 to see if they could find a pattern. Could not find a discernible pattern. Then the library's public relations coordinator said she doubted that any bad-natured intent on the part of the... I got to find out.
Now, what were they...
They're empty A1 sauce bottles. Just left in the library.
Like randomly.
Just random, all over. They've found 30 since January. 30. So we're in June, so that's what, 5 a month.
Do you think it's a publicity stunt for A1?
Why would A1 pick Avon Lake Public Library in Ohio to launch their new ad campaign?
Avon kind of sounds like A1.
Well, it sounds more like Avon. If they were finding cosmetics cases all over, then I'd say, aha.
Touche.
But no, I don't. First of all, who goes through that much A1? We've had a bottle of A1 in the refrigerator. It's got to be going on a year and a half. We use it very seldom. It's probably expired. I probably need some new one. But to do 30 10-ounce bottles, and I'm going to guess it's the same person, unless there's some A1 cabal happening somewhere in Ohio that we don't know about. There's some A1 cult. Staff have suggested that the bottle's baffling appearance could be linked to the geocache located just outside the library. Of course librarians would say that. I don't even know what that means.
Have you ever gone geocaching?
No.
I don't know
what it is.
It's like a whole community. My mom did it with her girlfriends for a while. And so basically there's these geocaches. So it's like it could be a little money box somewhere or like a tube like stashed somewhere. And they're all over the place. And then it's all on like this map on the internet. So it was like when smartphones came around, this is like a big thing. And you basically, actually my boyfriend and I just geocached.
So is it like a Pokemon Go kind of thing?
No.
Only with stuff?
No, because you only use your phone to like kind of find where it is. And then you have to like, it's hidden. Like there's one on
so it's like
kind
a treasure hunt?
Yeah, kind of. And you find this box. There's one that's like over by those tennis courts like on Division and Lakeshore kind of.
All right.
And there's this tube like stuffed up a tree, so you have to like get the tube out, and then everybody has written their names down on like a little piece of paper. My boyfriend happened to have a couple of Pokemon cards in his wallet,
oh,
so we left those.
Oh boy,
so it's cool.
So you're,
but I don't know what it would have to do with A1,
right? And if you're trying to find the geocache box, you wouldn't then leave bottles of A1 in the library, don't you? Leave it wherever the box is.
What's A1 for? Steak?
Steak, hamburgers,
I'm a
anything.
Vegetarian, so that's why.
Yeah, you put it on anything. It's a condiment.
And is it like, it's been around
it's
for a
brown,
while?
It's been around forever. Been around for a long time.
How do you think their sales are doing? I feel like
good.
It's a conspiracy.
A1 is on tables everywhere, at steakhouses and restaurants, anywhere you get meat, there's A1.
I wonder if there are other like uses.
They're the market leader. They're the brand leader for that.
Is it like a moist... No, it's like a moisturizer.
No, I don't think so. It would turn you with some sort of odd color. Yeah. I don't think it's a moisturizer. I don't think it's like Coca-Cola that can allegedly take rust off a bumper. It's nothing like that. It's just a nice condiment. People use it. It's a zingier ketchup.
Okay.
Which I'm probably,
sounds
now the A1
good,
people
actually.
Are like, that is not a good way to describe our product at all.
That is not a good way to describe A1.
I only use it on hamburgers. I never put it on steak.
You can put it on anything.
You can put it on anything. Sure you can.
Yeah. Chicken.
All right. It's a wonderful product. But again, if you're picking up a geocache outside a library, you're not taking an empty bottle in. Anyway, the mystery has remained unsolved, according to today. So it's still 30 bottles in 6 months they've found in the library. All right. Maybe I'll get the WGN news team on that. That sounds like something you can sink your teeth into, Rob. Get in there, investigative
reports. If it's got A1 on it, sure, I'll sink my teeth into
there
it.
There you go. Look at that. If they don't hire you now as a spokesperson, they are out of their minds. All right, let's do this, and it's news time, WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
In celebration of Catholic Charities' 100th anniversary, someone special has a message.
Hi, everyone. It's Joel Quenville with the Chicago Blackhawks. The number of children we lose to gun violence here in Chicago is heartbreaking. Catholic Charities there to help grieving children, mothers, and grandmothers. Congratulations to Chicago's Good Samaritan, providing 100 years of hope to all feeling hopeless. For more information on how you can help, visit CatholicCharities.net.
Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Chicago, a century of hope.
It's the Corkless Wine Festival in beautiful and historic Galena, Illinois, on Saturday, June 24th from noon to 7. Enjoy elegant wines produced by Northern Illinois wineries. There's also live music, an art show, and take time to stroll through beautiful downtown for shopping and dining. And wine throughout the day. Join us June 24th at Depot Park along the Galena River in Galena and be corkless. For more information, see galena.org. Brought to you by galena.org and the Illinois Office of Tourism.
Are you hiring? Join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. You can post a job in minutes and manage your candidates from an easy-to-use dashboard. Post your next job on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
Increase your home's curb appeal with a new, beautiful front door that will dramatically improve the look of your home for years to come. And it won't take the usual 4 to 6 weeks or break the bank. Hi, this is Tom Jahnke of Builder Supply Outlet. Our in-house door shop will build the door of your dreams in 72 hours. You heard right, 72 hours, and at a true outlet price. And what about your interior doors? We have a huge selection of the top quality, newest styles. Beautiful 1, 3, and 5 panel interior doors in stock and ready to go. You won't find these deals at the big box stores, but you will at Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day on every item. We're just 5 miles east of the Oak Brook Shopping Mall on Cermak Road at 25th Avenue in Broadview. Or visit BuilderSupplyOutlet.com.
Quality and savings are what you get at Builder Supply Outlet.
On the other side of the news, we'll talk a little bit about Father's Day and father classes, all sorts of things. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio, then stand back and watch the machines do the work. This news is sponsored by By the Yard. A little after 8 o'clock, Rob Martier.
Cloudy and 72 at O'Hare, light rain and 70 down by Midway. A couple of flood warnings to pass along to you right now. Actually, a few flood warnings to pass along for Iroquois, Boone, DeKalb, Kane, and McHenry counties. Those rains that went through earlier prompting those flood warnings in effect for all of those aforementioned counties until 10 tonight. We will keep you updated. A Washington Post report published tonight says Robert Mueller, the special counsel overseeing the Russia probe, is now examining whether or not President Trump obstructed justice. ABC News legal analyst Royal Oaks.
Past assurances that the president wasn't under investigation might have referred to the issue of collusion with Russia. By contrast, a current investigation might be based on the claim by Comey that Trump tried to end the Flynn investigation. And then there's the president's admission that he had Russia on his mind when he fired Comey.
That's Royal Oaks reporting. Several community groups filed a lawsuit against the city today, saying reforms in the Chicago Police Department won't work without a court-appointed monitor. Mayor Emanuel was asked if he would consider a consent decree.
Obviously, there was an election that changed the Justice Department. It doesn't change, but I would say it doesn't change what we're committed to getting done.
The mayor's chief lawyer, Ed Siskel, did not directly answer whether the city would consider working with the plaintiffs toward a consent decree, saying only that they are exploring models for reform. Congressman Joe Barton saying his son had 25 dads protecting him while a shooter aimed at him and other Republicans during an early morning baseball practice in Alexandria, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C. ABC's Andy Field explains.
Texas Republican Joe Barton manages the Congressional Republican Charity Baseball Team set to play the Democrats. He says he and his son dove for cover when the shots began.
He was under a car with the bleachers between him and the shooter.
Barton holding a joint news conference with a Democratic team manager, both fearing heated political anger triggered that shooting. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
The shooter, James Hodgkinson of Belleville, Illinois, was shot and killed by Capitol Police. Congressman Steve Scalise of Louisiana was shot in the hip, and a lobbyist at the practice was shot multiple times. Both are listed in critical condition. President Trump and the First Lady are at the hospital right now. Speaking of President Trump, he's labeling his labeling of a House-passed health care bill as mean is aggravating some of the conservatives he pressed to back it. Dave Bratt says Trump put all sorts of pressure on conservatives to back that piece of legislation. Meanwhile, the president has made his pick for U.S. ambassador to Canada. Trump intends to nominate Kelly Knight Craft of Kentucky to serve as U.S. ambassador to our northern neighbor. The prominent Republican donor and fundraiser previously served as a U.S. delegate to the United Nations. And State Treasurer Mike Frerichs wants to make sure Illinois families receive death benefits when someone in their family dies. He's urging the governor to sign a measure that requires life insurance companies to check their records back to the early 2000s for any benefits that were never paid.
All this legislation will do at the end of the day is make sure that life insurance companies keep the promises that they made to their policyholders. No one has purchased a policy thinking, I hope my loved one gets their money someday. They made a promise, and we'd like them to keep it.
Will there be baseball tonight on the South Side? We'll check sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Hey, Nick DiGilio here. Getting a good night's sleep helps me be more productive throughout the day, and that's why I'm sleeping on the Zeke Smart Pillow. Zeke, spelled Z-E-E-Q, uses cutting-edge technology and a customizable loft level to provide personalized comfort and connectivity. It's app-controlled, meaning I can play music, set a wake-up time, track my sleep, and even set a snore alarm right from the palm of my hand. Get free shipping and save $50 on Zeke with promo code Nick at remfit.com. That's remfit.com.
Do you find yourself slowly strolling through the frozen aisle in the grocery store, escaping the hot sauna your house has become? How did it come to this? Well, it's time to get smart. Visit iwantsmart.com without breaking a sweat. This deal is hotter than the upstairs of your house right now. With a $50 rebate off their clean and check AC service or a $200 rebate for an AC replacement, getting smart has never been cooler.
iwantsmart.com.
It's the return of IndyCars at Road America in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin.
For the Verizon IndyCar Series
Kohler Grand Prix, June 22nd through the 25th.
This weekend features an international lineup of drivers
in an all-out wheel-to-wheel battle.
They'll be joined by the Pirelli World Challenge.
It's four huge days and 12 big races. Camp on site and catch every lap.
Get your tickets now.
Call 1-800-365-RACE.
Or online at roadamerica.com.
Come for the experience. Stay for the race. Road America, your national park of speed.
So I got my X chair and was such a huge fan and had such an amazing result from it that I ended up getting them for my entire staff. And I got to tell you, there's never been anything that we've done that has boosted morale or gotten as much productivity out of our team as just giving them these X chairs. It's amazing. Every day people are coming in literally saying how much better they feel, how much longer they're able to work, how much more we're able to produce. And so it has really been a game changer for our agency because literally people are staying at work longer and getting more out of their day because of a chair. I would have never thought that was possible.
With 21st Century Design, the X Chair is now available for an incredible $100 off. Order today using the code Chicago to receive a free footrest. That's $100 off plus a free footrest. Just use code Chicago at checkout. Feel better and get more done. Go to getxchair.com now. That's get, the letter X, chair.com. Or call us toll-free at 844-4X-CHAIR. GetXChair.com or call 844-4X-CHAIR now.
WGN Sports, nowhere near the amount of runs last night in the Cubs' 14-3 win over the Mets. In fact, this game decidedly different. In the top of the seventh right now, the Mets and Cubs tied up at four in New York. On the South Side, a bit of a delay due to the rain. The White Sox just tweeting out that the first pitch between them and the Orioles is now scheduled for 8:40. Rain in the forecast ahead of this weekend's U.S. Open. Rory McIlroy not worried about a wet course.
I don't think it's a secret that I feel like my driver is one of the biggest weapons in my bag. If I can get that in my hands more regularly, and if the field has to hit driver more as well, you know, that plays into my hands too. So, you know, like I wasn't crying when I saw that rain last night and this morning.
This year's Open is in Wisconsin at Erin Hills. Wide fairways, it's a pretty decent track, should be a good tournament. Let's take a look at the traffic situation right now on the inbound Edens, Lake Cook to the Kennedy Junction, 16 minutes, 19 back out. 67 in on the Kennedy, O'Hare to downtown, 23 back out to the airport. Working decently on the Eisenhower, Wolf to downtown, 28 minutes, 20 back out to Wolf. 21 in on the Stevenson, Tri-State to Lakeshore Drive, 18 on the flip, and 15 minutes in either direction on the Dan Ryan between 95th and downtown. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center tonight. Showers and storms pushing out over Lake Michigan right now, so they are weakening indeed. A low of 70 degrees. Tomorrow, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms early on. Clouds diminish later in the day, a high of 91. Tomorrow night, a slight chance of showers or storms with a low of 69. And Friday, scattered showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny. After that, then going up to a high of 88. Right now, it's 72 at O'Hare, Midway 70, Woodridge checking in at 69, 66 along the lakefront. The barometer is falling, winds out of the south at 15. The Lake Michigan water temperature is 65. I'm Rob Martier in the WGN Newsroom, ready to join the conversation live whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I get a feeling Lisa's had a bad day.
This is Cat Stevens' father and son, and it's very relevant.
It's also very sad.
No.
Depressing. We're pumping things up. I know we got a blues guy coming in here after 10, but come on. It's raining. People are out. We need to amp it up a little bit. Holy smokes. It's Brian Noonan in for Justin Kaufman. And there's Lisa's now like, you told me I could play whatever I... Oh, sorry.
Now,
there
and now you turn my microphone off.
No, I turned off Cat Stevens. Uh-huh. I had to turn down Cat Stevens because
That's
I was about to...
That's such a beautiful song.
It is a beautiful song, but it's a beautiful song when you're sitting with a glass of bourbon and, you know, weeping about the past.
I'm doing that right now. Gone.
Well, I'm not. I don't have time for that. We do have a theory about the A1 library scandal. From the 630, there's a studious, mischievous high school student in Avon, Pennsylvania who works as a busboy at a steakhouse. Perhaps, and he's just bored and bringing empty bottles of A1 to the library. Who knows? And then a proud beef producer from Illinois chastising people for putting anything on a good steak. Any sort of, yes. So, I don't know. Listen, I don't put things on my steak. A little bit of salt, that's it. Then some, you know, whatever I'm doing when I'm cooking it. All right, Father's Day is Sunday, as evidenced by the uplifting music that we were listening to a moment ago. Now Lisa's going to file some report with HR that I was giving her a hard time. You know I'm teasing.
I'll pick up the beat.
No, that's okay. Listen, I used to do this when I was first in radio.
Uh-huh.
And I was working in a small town in southern Illinois. Very small market. I think it was a 5,000-watt station in Sparta, Illinois.
Oh, yeah.
And I would have a bad day. I was doing mornings. And I would come in if I had a bad day, and I would play all depressing songs all morning. And it was just like the worst.
A bunch of like Joni Mitchell.
Oh, anything sad, any forlorn love song. A girl I was dating
Carpenters.
Dumped me while I was down there. So I was, I was playing all. Yeah,
especially mornings. You didn't get any sleep.
No sleep. I'm fine. It's just, oh. And
were then, you a producer?
No, I was the host.
You were hosting.
I was the host.
Obviously.
And then, I don't, that side of the glass confuses me. this side of the glass, I
me
run
too.
My mouth. I do that all the time. But no, and so people would start calling. I go, are you all right? Because this morning everything's been really sad. Like, oh yeah, okay. Then I'd have to, you know, then it'd be time for me to engineer the morning news and
right.
move on to other things, and then the gospel hour before I went to lunch.
Were you playing them off records?
Yes. Yeah, we had to cue up the old records on these giant manhole cover like turntables, and some of the. So this is a term that only old radio and disc jockeys will know. It's cue burn.
Cue burn.
What's that? When a record has been queued up so many times, which means you listen to the last thing and then you pull it back. And, you know, club DJs remember this.
Yeah.
But after a while, there'd be a... So
right
you
that.
Could never start the record clean. There would always be the... And then it would kick in. But, yeah.
Playing cue burn sounds like an intense sunburn.
This was... And, you know, we also... And this is how old I am. I was with Thomas Edison when he invented the telephone, but we had to edit reel-to-reel tape with like a razor blade. That's how we put together.
A razor blade?
A razor blade.
Did you ever nick yourself on accident?
No. Because you would lay it, you had a little track that you would lay the tape in and a grease pencil and you'd make the mark. And then the tape or the track had angled places to put the razor so that when you made the two cuts, then you could take the little editing tape and tape the two pieces together.
Stop.
Honest
tape?
To God,
like
it, it was
tape?
A special sort of, and it was
like
all it was all the width of the audio tape, and you would lay it in the track, and then you would do it that way. Yes, so it was actual tape on the tape.
Meanwhile,
and you had to make sure that your two cut ends matched up perfectly, and when you were putting the tape on, that you didn't somehow move one, and then there would be an awkward where your edit was supposed to be. It was crazy back then.
That's
radio. See, now you kids today with your computers podcast. And your podcasts and your editing software, boo-hoo. Oh, it's so hard to move a cursor.
Oh, it's so easy.
We weren't able to see the whatever you call them, the waves.
Yeah.
We couldn't see the wave file. Nothing. I remember doing a 3-minute thing for a basketball tournament, and it took me about a week. Because I'm trying to intersperse music and find clips, and if I wanted a clip from a broadcast, I would either have to record it on another tape or cut it out of the original broadcast tape and put it on. Oh, it was unbelievable.
Could you make copies of things?
Only by re-recording them. So
I wouldn't have been able to do that.
Yeah, you would have. That's all you had.
Love
I mean,
of the media,
that
right?
was, well, that was all you had. There was no other way to do it.
Wow.
Oh, Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone. Yes, he did. See, that's why I was not there. No, Thomas Edison did electricity. Thank you. Sometimes things don't pop into my head as I wish they did. But, all right. Mentioned Father's Day. That's how this all began. Father's Day is Sunday. And there is a experience that is becoming more and more popular. And I did not go to this, but maybe I wish I did. It's a fatherhood, a new fatherhood class. So if your wife or girlfriend or whoever is expecting a baby, you're a father-to-be, you take one of these classes. I wonder how many of us would have taken a class had it been available. Now, my daughter is 20, so we didn't have those classes. It was everything was focused on the mom, as it should be. But dads have concerns, too. So I wanted to, if you took one of these classes, I'd love to hear from you. Would you have taken it if you're a father of grown children? Would you have taken it if you could? What do you wish you had known? Because that's basically what this class is about. It's fathers being able to share their concerns and ask their questions in a safe environment where it's like, listen, I'm worried about this, and you don't want to be in maybe the class with all the pregnant women who are going through a really hard time, and they're going, well, I'm kind of worried about this, and take all kinds of guff for it. Where this way, it's a safe spot for guys. Some of the questions that people were asking in one of the local classes, I hope the baby is better than me, or concerns, rather. I hope to figure out how to support my wife and be as involved as my wife. I fear I will be crowded out by my wife and in-laws. I fear my kid will be a total jerk. So these are all concerns that dads have. I remember back as much as I can. I know I read like the What to Expect When You're Expecting book and What to Expect the First Year book while we had them. But they didn't offer classes for guys to go to and commiserate. But we'll talk a little bit about it, talk about what's in these classes. And what do you wish you had known? 312-981-7200. Dads, I'm talking to you. Giving you the forum to say, listen, I wish I had known this because it worked out. And what piece of advice would you give a new dad? If you were, you're an experienced dad, you run into a guy who's expecting his first kid, what piece of advice would you give him? 312-981-7200. We'll talk about that on the other side. It's WGN.
Did Robert Mueller just pop Donald Trump's birthday balloons?
An impulsive decision.
Is the special counsel investigating the president for obstruction of justice?
An intramural news or ruse with special guest star John Williams.
Plus, we'll have your chance to win a pair of tickets to the NHL draft weekend.
That comes right at 5:40.
The Rogue Con Show with Anna DeVlantis tomorrow afternoon at 3 on 720 WGN.
More than 3,000 slot machines and your favorite table games.
For excitement.
Unforgettable dining, from steaks to seafood.
For delight.
415 luxurious hotel rooms and world-class concerts.
For enjoyment.
It's Four Winds Casinos in beautiful Southwest Michigan. For gaming, for dining, for entertainment, for adventure. Four Winds Casinos, New Buffalo, Hartford, and Dowagiac in Southwest Michigan. Must be 21. Please play responsibly.
The Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic in Downers Grove offers a comprehensive patient-centered healthcare experience at their Family Medicine Clinic, Speech-Language Institute, Physical Therapy Institute, Dental Institute, and Eye Institute. At their clinics, you will receive quality care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. Learn more at mwuclinics.com or call 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Clinic, your family's home for healthcare.
Back in the olden days, hard-working people who needed to buy something had to walk into a bank and fill out long forms to get what was called a personal loan. All you needed was a job and decent credit. Ah, the good old days.
Whoa, old-timer. Personal loans are even better than ever at 35cash.com. 35cash.com is the innovative digital way to get a personal loan. Just visit 35cash.com, click on the Get Started button, and tell us about yourself. Your information is quickly placed in front of a network of lenders who want to offer you a loan. 35cash.com is a safe and secure way to shop for a personal loan for up to $35,000 in as little as 5 minutes. Do you have a job and good credit? Do you need to consolidate your debt? Get the loan you need the simple way by visiting 35cash.com. That's 35cash.com. The good old days of convenient personal loans are back and better than ever at 35cash.com. Not available in all states, subject to lender approval.
CLTV is now in HD. Watch the TV simulcast of Steve Cochran and Rokan, along with all the latest news, weather, and traffic, all in high definition now on Comcast Infinity, Channel 352. Brian Noonan in for Justin Kaufman. All right, dads, I'm talking to you. Fatherhood gets real at local expectant dads classes. Something, it sounds interesting. Sounds like something that would be helpful. They did not have those when I was going to be a dad. Some texter said, does it always have to be about you? How many times do you say I? Well, when people are telling stories about themselves, they usually use the word I. And, you know, if you don't like it, call in, share your story. 312-981-7200. Then it'll all be about you. See how that works? It's a conversation. If I'm talking about me, then I'm going to use the word I. If we're talking about you, then we'll use your name or pronoun. So these dads only newborn classes offer men a chance to ask their own questions and express their own concerns. They're very popular in Denver. What would you make of that? Because, well, people are high in Denver. We know that. Everybody's high. So the dads are like, I don't know. What if I like see my kid's breath and it's music? Is that cool? Should I expect that? I don't know. Freak. And before everybody who's high calls in and goes, we don't all sound like that, man. I know, but in my head, you do. You just, everybody sounds like that when they're high or drunk. All drunk guys sound like this, and all high guys sound like this. That's just it. These classes also reflect the increasingly hands-on nature of modern fatherhood, which has changed quite a bit. Fathers more than doubled their time spent on childcare between 1965 and 2001. Yeah, remember, if you're a certain age, your dad really didn't do a whole lot childcare wise, you know, provided for you, maybe to play catch with you, take you on vacation. But dads, it was the way things were back then. Dads worked and came home, and moms took care of the kids. Well, that has changed. That statistic, according to a Pew Research on Social and Demographic Trends report, which I know people read constantly. All right, the teacher of the class made a big point about diaper duty. Men listen. It's a 2.5-hour class. Guys were listening to this. They said, listen, you've got to pull your weight when it comes to diaper duty, which I did, and I didn't mean to say duty. I know if you're 12, you're laughing right now that I said that. So guys were very worried about learning the steps to after you bring your kids home. Because if you're a dad, you know that it's nerve-wracking. No matter how much you prepare, when they say, okay, because in the hospital, it's easy. The baby's born, you go visit the baby, everything's cool. The nurses bathe the baby. The nurses do most of it. The nurses bring the baby if the mom's breastfeeding. The nurses take care of all that. And you just kind of hang out. And then all of a sudden they go, hey, do you have the car seat in the car? You're like, what? And that's the first big challenge of being a new father, is getting that car seat in the car for the first time the right way. Because they have drilled it into our heads, and rightfully so, that if that seat is not in there right, that baby's going to become a projectile. And that's the last thing you want, is your new baby to become a projectile. So you get it in there, and I remember trying to get that thing in and breaking a sweat. My daughter was born at the end of August, so it was hot. And you're trying to get that seat in, and you want to make sure that your seatbelt snaps securely. And it becomes a whole big deal. So that's the first thing you should panic about if you're a new father, getting that car seat in. So the men in this class, they write down their hopes and fears anonymously. They talk about things that surprise them, fear of how hard it would be to raise your kids in a different culture, with family far away, fear of bringing up a jerk. That was a recurring theme throughout this story. I never worried about my daughter being a jerk. Is that something that dads, it must be something that dads worried about. Did you worry about that? Worrying that your kid would be a jerk? Doesn't that kind of mean that in a way you're a jerk? If that's your biggest worry, like, I hope my kid isn't a jerk. Well, you know, if you're not a jerk, there's a good chance your kid's not going to be a jerk. Is your partner a jerk? Is your family a jerk? If the kid has siblings, are they jerks? My daughter's trying to call me now. She obviously does. She's like, yeah, I'm a jerk. She's calling me right in the middle of the show. Among his tips for hands-on fathers, bring a pill. This is a good tip, but I didn't... I'm wondering if you stayed. I didn't stay at the hospital. Now I'm going to worry about saying I don't care. It's the Brian Noonan show. Guess what? A lot of it revolves around me. So bring a pillow to the hospital with a colored or patterned pillowcase so housekeeping won't accidentally take it away. Pack snacks, a change of clothes, and slippers or flip-flops. They say because there's nobody there to take care of dad, which is true. So one of the things you can do is keep up your energy. Different options for chronicling the big event. When your sons were born, Rob, how did you chronicle it? Did you take pictures, video? What'd you do?
I cried.
You cried? Sure, cried. Of course you cried.
Was it chronicled? It took pictures, but see, Charles came out and he had kind of a smushed-in face.
Oh, my.
So we had to wait for it to pop back out again.
What, they just push on the back of his head?
Well, no. What happened is quickly here, let's not go down the rabbit hole. I was crying hysterically because I thought now there was something severely wrong with him.
Oh,
and
no.
The doctor looked up at me because I was sitting at my ex-wife's head at that point.
Sure.
And the doctor said, look, he's good. All right, relax. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
When the doctor tells you that, because
it's all soft tissue.
Well, you hope they're going to be honest with you. Well, everything worked out. How long did? And
you know what,
I'm not trying to be funny. How long does it take for it to pop up? A
couple hours.
That's it?
Look, I was so proud of them. Their APGAR scores were off the charts. So, you know,
there
look.
There you go. Perfect.
Next stop, Mensa. You know what I mean?
Would you have taken a class if they offered parenting or father's classes?
Absolutely
expected
not.
Father classes?
No way.
No.
No. No.
Is there anything you wish you had known before they were born that you learned the hard way?
I wish I had known or done. I should have become an anesthesiologist. I didn't realize they were going to be as expensive as
those
they are.
Anesthesiologist.
Yeah.
And then
but,
they just
but, you know, radio's okay. We're getting
sure.
By.
Yeah, we're yeah, that's fine. Voice recording, they say, is surprisingly powerful. And if you're taking pictures, new dads, use the black and white filter because it mutes the blood and it also helps the really tired moms look a little better. That's what they say. So your wife later won't go, oh, I look so horrible. Oh, baby, you look beautiful. Look, you just gave birth to our children. They're, everything's fine. All right, on the other side of the news, we are going to find out what's going on with all the movies and TV that's happening in Chicago. We've got Rich Moskal from the Chicago Film Office joining us after the news. We'll do this first on WGN. Don't we wish? We'll make a film about a man that's sad and lonely. And all I gotta do is act naturally. Brian Noonan in for Justin Kaufman on 720 WGN. Yeah, they're gonna put us in the movies because the movies and TV, Hollywood has come to Chicago more and more. Over the last few years, things are really popping. Sunday morning, Michigan Avenue was shut down. Big helicopter chase for Dwayne The Rock Johnson's movie Rampage. A lot of things happening in the city, a lot of production. What does it mean for all of us? Rich Moskal is the director of the Chicago Film Office, and he joins us now on WGN. Rich, thanks for taking some time tonight. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, Brian. Good to be here.
So when did this huge boom in production start? I mean, we all remember last night in Grant Park, Millennium Park, they showed the Blues Brothers. I remember right. When that was filmed here, it was a big deal. Then you had Batman. But there was always some stuff going on, but now it seems Chicago has become a huge production hub.
Yeah, it's definitely, we've reached a new, sort of a new normal in terms of the level of production that's been going on here. But you're right, I mean, this started back in the late 70s when the Blues Brothers put Chicago very much on Hollywood's radar. But since then, there's been peaks and valleys, and we've won and lost by what can be the popularity of new destinations, new cities, not only here in the U.S., but around the world, frankly, and Canada's always been big competition.
Mm-hmm.
But the past 2 to 3 years, particularly due to the growth of network television series and episodic television, whether it's on network or streaming services, has really elevated the amount of production that's been going on here. It's elevated our profile to the Hollywood community that is now looking to Chicago as a place for this industry to conduct its business, and it's grown the infrastructure here with sound stages and vendors and lighting companies and camera operator companies. So we've really changed, I think, from being just an occasional destination to a new hub for the industry, which is exciting.
Now, we know tax breaks play a big part, but tax breaks can't be the only reason that people want to come here and produce their network TV shows or make their movies here. What are some of the other things that you hear when producers are coming here saying this is what we're looking for?
You're right. It's a combination of factors. If it were just a tax incentive, you know, frankly, I don't think we would be able to draw the industry in the way we have. But the quality and the talent of the crew base that is here, the technicians and the tradespeople, as well as the actors, is a huge plus, so that producers don't have to bring their crew with them. They don't have to cast out of New York and Los Angeles. They can find all of that talent right here in Chicago. The infrastructure is there to support it, whether it's sound stages or vendors, like I mentioned before. Mm-hmm. But frankly, you know, this city just looks so great on screen. It's a very cinematic and very diverse looking city with vintage architecture, a diversity of landscape, whether it's the river cutting through the heart of the city or the lakefront or the skyline, all surrounded by a rich diversity of neighborhoods that are both ethnic and have age that make them look, you know, like Eastern Europe, or that makes them look like New York City, or there's just a diversity of looks that that production designers and cinematographers just love about being here. And then, not to credit ourselves too much, but the ability for the city to welcome the industry and meet their needs and be able to do things like flying helicopters down Michigan.
Yeah, how does something like that happen? Now, granted, it's Sunday morning, so traffic's a little lighter. But logistically, how do the producers deal with the city? What do they have to do to be able to do this, shut down Michigan Avenue?
Sure. We started talking to the producers from Rampage as early as last September and went through a series of conversations and negotiations in terms of what we could offer them. Their plans changed significantly over that time, but you know, our interest was being able to accommodate them without driving everybody crazy. And
right.
We didn't drive everybody crazy. And we were insistent upon some rules that meant that, hey, we can only do this at certain times of the day, on weekends for sure, because Michigan Avenue is a very busy place. So,
yeah, you can't shut it down on a Friday afternoon.
But it takes the cooperation of not only other city departments, whether it's the police department or the fire department, or the Office of Emergency Management, but also the cooperation of the local community and working with the businesses up and down Michigan Avenue, as well as with the residential properties all along downtown Chicago, which are growing in great number these days. It used to be that filming downtown was a relatively easy thing. Back when the Blues Brothers was being filmed, downtown Chicago was pretty quiet on the weekend. That's hardly the case these days.
Right? Yeah, exactly. It's got to be tough. What's the craziest request that a producer has made that maybe the city could meet it, or maybe you just went, there's no way we can do this?
You know, it's not often we say no. We always try to at least say,
there you go,
how about this? But there have been a few standouts. If you recall the movie The Fugitive,
yes,
that was made great use of Chicago locations. The follow-up to that film was a movie called U.S. Marshal that Tommy Lee Jones starred in. And they wanted the opening sequence of that film to be just as spectacular as the train crash was in The Fugitive. Geez. So rather than crashing a train, their plan was to crash land a 747 on what they would have wanted was Lakeshore Drive. And while they kept saying, oh, a lot of this is going to be visual effects, it still would have meant putting the fuselage of a 47 on the drive somewhere in the vicinity of Monroe Street Harbor, to which they said, you know, it won't be there for that long, yet tops maybe a week.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
So there was that time. In fact, you know, fortunately, they were able to find a swamp down in southern Illinois that looked perfect to crash land the plane into. So we didn't have to worry about that scene too much.
We've talked a lot about, or you've talked a lot about infrastructure. How big a deal was it for CineSpace to open in Lawndale? That is, I've been down there. It is a huge facility. It is like a little Hollywood down there.
Yeah, it was a game changer for us. There's no question about it. And it's not to say we didn't have and still have other film sound stages here in Chicago, but nothing quite the size of CineSpace. And when CineSpace was added to the other sound stages that exist here, it really increased our ability to house multiple productions all at the same time. And when we had, maybe years ago, 2-3 shows in town, particularly television series that are shooting year-round, that was a lot for us. But CineSpace gave us the capacity to house as many as 9 full television series that were shooting simultaneously last year. And we have the same number, just about the same number going on this year. And that's the great thing about television series is that, you know, even a big movie like The Dark Knight, which shot here for 3 months, was great business for us. A television series oftentimes employs far more Chicagoans and casts far more Chicago actors and shoots, for the most part, 9 months out of the year. So it becomes much more of a full-time business, a steady business, and a predictable business for the people who are working in the industry. And CineSpace has as many now as 30 different stages on a huge campus of what, not that many years ago, was a Ryerson Steele distribution center. So it was a great retrofit of what was then a closed facility, and as you put it, now you get back there between all the trucks and the trailers and the crew that are buzzing around there. It really does look like a back lot.
Now, can we put a number on how many jobs this production, not just the 9 shows, but say in a year, the last year, how many jobs all this filming generated?
Well, the state of Illinois tracks this stuff pretty closely because they're the ones who administer the tax credit, so they need to track exactly how much is being spent and how many jobs are being created. And last year, the state reported $499 million in terms of local spending on hiring of local people, use of local small businesses, goods and services. And that translated also into 13,000 job hires.
13,000. Wow.
And that's not including the thousands of extras that get hired and things like that. Those are really the more permanent jobs of trades, technicians, craftspeople, everybody from electricians to hair and makeup artists to painters and construction foremen and camera operators. It really is an industry that employs a very broad spectrum of what are traditional trades as well as creative trades and the numbers of businesses that it makes good use of, everything from construction supplies to dry cleaners. So it's a good industry for the city and the state.
Well, and people don't realize just how many people are needed for one of these productions. It's astounding how many jobs are created and how many people are working on one show. You take one episode of Chicago PD or Fire or one of those, there's a lot of people who are employed.
It's usually I think the full crew on a Chicago Fire is somewhere in the neighborhood of about 400 people. And that is almost 90% Chicagoans these days. It used to be that, even television series, which which tend to hire more people locally, would bring a lot of people in from out of town. First of all, the incentive is created to increase the likelihood of them hiring local people. And the fact is, Chicago has great talent both in front and behind the screen. So it's only in their best interest to hire Chicagoans when they come here and do the work. It's more affordable for them. It's more cost effective. And frankly, we have the people to support the industry. So it ends up being a win for both sides.
A report came out early in the year that between 2011 and 2015, the film industry, the boom here, generated more than $1.3 billion in revenue for the city. Is that an accurate estimate?
It is, and that didn't include last year's half a billion or $499 million. Okay. So we're getting close to $2 billion in revenue just in the last 5 years alone.
And is that city revenue or is that state revenue?
It's state revenue, and the vast majority of that is Chicago metropolitan in terms of spending okay. and hiring, just because not all of the industry. In fact, there's a good number of productions that are shooting downstate as well as central Illinois
sure.
and elsewhere. But the big draw, obviously, is Chicago.
And where are we putting all that money? That's a lot of dough, Rich. Where's it going?
Well, it's going into the economy, which is a great thing.
That is.
But it's been employing more people as the industry has thrived. And as I said, when we just as little as 3-4 years ago, if we had three shows shooting at the same time, we felt pretty good. But now we're truly at a new level, and I think at a new place for the industry to recognize that this is a good place to do business. And the competition is fierce. I mean,
oh sure,
The hot destination right now, in fact, a big portion of the movie Rampage, which is definitely shooting here in Chicago, but is also being shot in Atlanta, Georgia. So Atlanta and Toronto and Vancouver and several places in Louisiana, we all compete for this business. And fortunately, Chicago offers what would be described by the industry as great production values. It's both affordable, it's an easy place to work, and it offers high quality in terms of its talent and resources. Success breeds success. The more
right.
people see Chicago on screen, whether it's in the big screen or the small screen, it tends to draw the interest of other filmmakers. In the same way that Blues Brothers, when it first was made here in Chicago, it had a great response to a general audience, but the best audience, from our perspective, were other filmmakers who saw that film and said, man, they'll let you do just about anything in Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. And if you could drive a car through the Daily Center, sure, come on in.
But it also sort of put us on the map as a really good-looking place to work,
yeah.
which was the most compelling thing about it.
Before I let you go, what's on the docket? I know you said we're probably going to have another 9 TV shows, so we know the Chicago franchise, Fire,
sure.
PD, all, Hope, Med, Chicago Med, all of those. What else is coming TV and movie-wise?
Empire will be back for another season, which is a hugely popular show on Fox. There's a brand-new series called The Chi, which is produced by Common, who is also Chicagoan, as well as another Chicagoan from a graduate of Columbia College by the name of Lena Waithe. So it's always great when Chicagoans
come back.
Projects back here. Currently, we have a big feature film in town called Widows. It's directed by Steve McQueen, who directed 12 Years a Slave, that stars Viola Davis and Liam Neeson and Robert Duvall, and that's actually a very prestigious project for it to have, because so many of those people involved with it are Academy Awards,
yeah.
and everybody has high hopes for this project once it comes into, I would assume, release maybe late this year, early part of next year. And we have another TV series that's made by a Chicagoan by the name of Joe Swanberg. He has a series on Netflix called Easy, which Joe is known as an independent filmmaker, the darling of places like Sundance and South by Southwest. Joe's been incredibly successful in churning out all kinds of lower independent features, but now has moved into the television market. So you're seeing Chicago on all kinds of platforms and all kinds of screens these days. And we hope to keep the momentum alive.
That would be great. Rich, I appreciate the time tonight and continued success. Keep bringing those projects here to the city.
Hey, thanks, Brian. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you as well. That's Rich Moskal. He's the director of the Chicago Film Office. Very exciting stuff. I auditioned for that Widows movie with the Yeah, the big shots. But I'm here with you, and that's more important, isn't it? All right, let's do this. 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in. If you've been to these to see any of these productions, it is unbelievable. Maybe they've been in your neighborhood. Maybe they've been at your house. We will find out. So much to get to on WGN.
Listen, learn, laugh. 720 WGN.
Hey, it's Kevin Powell here. Let me tell you about a dating service that I've been using the past few months. 26 years ago, a woman from Chicago found herself single when her engagement was abruptly called off. She began the search to meet well-educated professionals like herself. Her friend set her up on blind dates. She tried the bar scene, contemplated online dating. She wasn't comfortable with any of it. She decided lunch or a drink after work was an ideal date. Thus, It's Just Lunch was founded, and the rest is history. It's Just Lunch has matched me with nothing but fun, laid-back, and stress-free dates. I've gone on a couple right after work at some great spots nearby. It's always convenient for everyone. Now, to celebrate 26 years of worry-free first dates, It's Just Lunch has a special offer for you during the month of June. You have nothing to lose except your single life. Call It's Just Lunch at 312-881-5225. That's 312-881-5225. Or visit itsjustlunchchicago.com to learn more. Call today and start dating tomorrow.
Hey, it's Steve Cochran here to talk about a sensitive topic, sleep apnea and the stress it causes in your life for you and your relationships. CPAP is the first-line treatment for people with sleep apnea, but studies show that over half the people who have a CPAP machine don't even use it. If sleep apnea is causing stress in your relationships and when you haven't found relief with CPAP, you got to learn about Inspire. Inspire Therapy is a sleep apnea solution that doesn't require a mask or a hose. It works inside your body with your natural breathing process. It's a small device implanted under the skin that delivers mild stimulation to keep your airway open while you sleep, and that's the key. Over 100 leading medical centers, including several right here in Chicago, are now offering Inspire Therapy to treat your sleep apnea. The freedom to sleep, like everybody else, is just a click away. Inspiresleep.com. You want to learn more, review important safety information, and find a doctor who can determine if Inspire is right for you. Go to that website. Again, that's Inspiresleep.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Southern New Hampshire University has been hailed as one of the most innovative universities, and its online tuition is among the nation's lowest. That makes it an easy choice if you live near New Hampshire. But imagine if this same leading education was available anywhere in the country or the world. It is, because Southern New Hampshire University is offering over 200 degree options online. You'll get the same degree as on-campus students, but you can do it completely online from wherever you want to be. Changing your future is just a text away. To get degree information and see how to apply online, simply text TOP to 554433. Expert faculty, the same leading education, the same global recognition, and the same degree as on-campus students. From your home, on your own schedule, at your pace. Southern New Hampshire University. See yourself succeed. Get degree information and see how to apply online by texting TOP to 554433. That's T-O-P to 554433.
Now you're feeling good.
Wednesday night party.
Yeah, now it's a party. We, after the 9 o'clock news, will be talking to Paul Morello from the Greater Chicago Food Depository. Because summertime is fun, right? Oh, man, kids are on vacation. This is great. They don't have to go to school. The kids are having fun. Well, that's true. But unfortunately for a lot of kids, it's not true because they're out of school. That means they don't get school breakfast and school lunch, which in a lot of cases are the only meals they might get. So the Greater Chicago Food Depository has some great programs. They'll tell you how they're handling things and how you can help, too. So we'll get into that on the other side of the news. And then we have I know Lise was talking to her. Lise has a podcast. I'm going to give her a plug so she doesn't have to seem like she's shilling.
Shucks.
She has a wonderful podcast, Lise FM. That's the name of it, right?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Thank you for knowing that.
Well, listen. And this week you had your dad on there.
I did.
Saw he had a guitar. Was
yes.
Was he playing something? Is he a minstrel? What does your dad do?
Oh, yeah, he is a minstrel.
All right. Very nice.
He plays in a bluegrass band.
Oh, cool.
And then, you know, a couple of like rock bands, garage,
nice.
Dad bands.
Very nice.
But he also hosts an open mic in Brookfield once a month. So,
where at?
Joe's Saloon on 47th Street.
Oh, sure.
So just off like First Avenue. But we're going to sing a couple daddy-daughter songs.
Oh, that's very nice.
Because we're just adorable.
That is adorable. My daughter would not sing with me, one, because I can't sing, and I don't think she could sing either. She inherited
Maybe
my voice.
Together it would be like an SNL skit.
Well, you sing like nobody's listening, you dance like nobody's watching. Isn't that how it goes?
Wow, did you come up with that?
I did not. I stole it from whoever
from
said
it
the first time. From a magnet, from an inspirational poster where a cat's hanging onto a branch. That's where I got it. I got it at one of those inspiration stores at the mall that nobody has gone to since 1987. That's exactly where I found it. All right, let's do this. And then on the other side, we will have the news and we'll find out what's going on to help kids find the food they need during summer vacation. All of that on WGN. It's Brian Noonan in for Justin Kaufman on 720 WGN. After 10 o'clock, we are going to talk to Jim Jarvis from River Edge Park in Aurora because this weekend is Blues on the Fox. We will also hear wonderful music from Nicholas David. He'll be in here giving us some in-studio performance. All of that after 10 o'clock. But right now, we want to turn our attention to something that, if you're like me, you can't believe that this is a problem. Not only in this city, but in this country where we have so much, and yet people not getting enough to eat is rampant all over this country, and especially here in Chicago. And as bad as it is for adults, it's even worse for children. Paul Morello is with the Greater Chicago Food Depository. He joins me now on WGN. Paul, thanks for taking time tonight. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Brian.
So let's cut through all of it. How bad a problem is hunger in this city?
Well, it's a significant problem. There's no real way to sugarcoat it, to be honest with you. Each year, the Food Depository serves more than 812,000 men, women, and children in Cook County alone. So that breaks down to one out of every six of our neighbors is turning to our network of pantries, soup kitchens, and shelters at least sometime during each year.
Now, we've got school ending, and that's, as I said earlier, that's always fun. You think back, most of us think back, and we go, oh, summer vacation, that was terrific. We don't have to go to school. We could do whatever we want. We stay out late. We catch lightning bugs. Oh, it's idyllic. And yet, for way too many children in this area and in this city, summer vacation means, oh, no more school breakfast, no more school lunch. How many kids are affected in that way? Do we have a number on that?
So it comes out to about one in five children in Cook County is food insecure, meaning that, you know, they don't get enough food to support a healthy lifestyle. And you hit it right on the head. You know, when school is in session, they get these free and reduced price breakfast and lunch meals. But during the summer, they lose those meals. And there's a huge gap between the number of kids that are eligible and receiving free and reduced breakfast and lunch during the school year, and then the number of kids who are eligible for summer meals who are actually receiving those meals. In fact, only about 12% of kids that are eligible for summer meals are actually taking advantage of them.
And why is that? Do we know why that is?
You know, we can guess one of the biggest barriers to accessing summer meals is simply awareness. Meals are available for kids. The programs are out there. The organizations are out there. The Food Depository doesn't do this alone. You know, there are a lot of other organizations in Cook County, in the state of Illinois, that do this, that sponsor summer meal sites. But families and kids don't know that they're out there. So you could have a family that literally has a summer meal site down the block from them. But if the parents don't know, the kids aren't going to get those meals.
Where does that responsibility fall then to get the word out? How do we get the word out?
Yeah, a couple different places. And one of the things that the Food Depository is doing is we work with another nonprofit called COFI, Community Organizing and Family Issues. And what they do is we work with them to send out parent canvassers to high-need communities in Cook County to literally go door-to-door, hanging out these summer meals door hangers, talking to people about summer meals. And what we've seen, I don't have the exact numbers off the top of my head, but what we've seen is that in each of those communities, after we have been there, the summer meal participation rate has skyrocketed.
Oh, so well, that makes sense.
Yeah, so that's one of the things that we're doing. But you know, it doesn't just fall on that. It's kind of a community effort. You know, we work a lot with our lawmakers. We talk to lawmakers about seeing if they'd come and visit a summer meal site, about promoting summer meals in their offices. You know, that's just one of the things. It's really a community-wide effort to make sure that people understand that these meals are available.
Well, let's talk about some of the programs that the Greater Chicago Food Depository has. We'll start, since we are talking about the summer, what are the seasonal programs for kids? And then we can get into some of the ones for the adults. But let's focus on the kids right now.
Yeah, so one of the biggest programs that just got underway last week is a really cool program that we call the Lunch Bus. Basically what it is this refrigerated van that makes 24 stops each day throughout the city of Chicago and the suburbs, distributing free meals to kids. And it stops at parks, it stops at libraries, stops at community centers, churches, really getting to kids where they live and play during the summer. And okay, that's one of the ways that we're kind of closing that gap when they don't have those meals at school. So that's one of the big programs that we have. Another one is it's called a Kids Cafe. Basically, those are meal programs at summer camp type summer camp type programs.
Let's go back to the Lunch Bus for a minute. So
sure,
the lunch, people find the stops at chicagosfoodbank.org? At
yep,
the website?
They sure can.
Okay,
yep, so they can go there, or they can also go to the Summer Meals website, which is summerfeedingillinois.org.
And how does this work? So how do the kids prove that they're eligible? How does it work when the bus pulls up to, let's say, a community center?
Yeah, so kids have to be 18 or younger to get meals. And there's not necessarily, we can't necessarily say exactly, oh, are you 18 and one day and then we
right,
have to get a meal. But generally, we have trained staff that are distributing the meals. They're making sure that the kids are 18 or younger, then they eat the meals at the site, and they go about the rest of their day. And that's basically the only requirement. That's the beauty of summer meals. There's no income requirement. There's nothing like that. It's simply you go up to the lunch bus. They give you a meal. The person at the lunch bus makes a little check mark on a box, and the kid gets a free meal.
Very nice. And what do those meals consist of?
Yeah, normally they are a sandwich, a fruit, a vegetable, and milk. The idea being really nutritious food.
Yeah. It's amazing. For most of us, thankfully, you didn't worry about that when you were a kid. You knew your mom would call you, or you knew what time to go home and you'd have lunch. But imagine having to go the whole day. And as you said, food insecure. I mean, there might be some food around, but it's not going to be enough, and it's not going to be probably the right stuff.
Yeah, everybody thinks, there's this feeling, especially summer in Chicago, that it is just such an amazing time to live in this city. And, everybody is going to parks, is going to baseball games, is having fun. But can you imagine being afraid as a kid of the start of summer and waking up every morning not knowing what you're going to do for lunch? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something that is a terrifying prospect, but thousands and thousands of kids wake up in our community having to deal with that every day.
And now that we're talking about the lunch bus and the summer programs, but what year-round the Greater Chicago Food Depository and your partners, you have programs for kids all year, right?
Yep. Yeah, we certainly do. We have a program, actually, we work with Chicago Public Schools, excuse me, called the Healthy Kids Market. Basically a pop-up food pantry inside of, I think we have about 30 of them, inside of about 30 Chicago Public Schools. The idea being parents, families who have kids at the school are eligible to receive food. And so they're getting produce, they're getting protein, shelf-stable items, dairy items at these pop-up food pantries. And, it's, again, the chances that obviously parents are going to know where to go to find the school, it's going to be a safe environment, they're going to be able to get the food. And we found that it's a good way to get parents involved. It's a good way, kind of a good excuse to get them to come actually into the school. So that's another of our kids programs that we have.
It sounds like a win-win. Now we've been talking about kids, Paul, but we also know that seniors are another vulnerable group. People get older, they're less income, maybe they're not as cognizant of where their food is coming from, what they're eating. What kind of programs do you have for older adults?
Yeah, a couple different programs. We have a program called the Older Adult Choice Market. And basically what that is a number of food pantries specifically designed and located for older adults. So often they are near older adult residential buildings.
Okay.
And they're more tailored to older adult diets. So a lot of fresh produce items that are really nutritional, but are also easy to prepare and easy to bring home. So that's one of the programs. We also have an older adult box program. We make boxes that could feed a family of four for 4 days, and they get distributed in residential communities, older adult residential communities.
Now, let's get to how people can help. Obviously, the Greater Chicago Food Depository, your website, chicagosfoodbank.org. People can go there. But what kind of programs do you have if people are hearing this and going, all right, I want to get involved. What can I do?
Well, there's so many ways to get involved. We could always use volunteers. We get so many volunteers during the holidays, and often we do have plenty of volunteer session openings during the summer. So if you go to the website that you just mentioned, you can sign up to volunteer. That's an easy, fun way to get involved.
Okay.
Of course, donating is a critical thing. We have so many supporters in the community, but the fact of the matter is hunger just continues to be a huge issue. And $1 equates to 3 meals that we can provide. So you can have an impact that way.
$1 is 3 meals?
Yep.
It's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. Now, you guys, I've been to the facility, and it is breathtaking, the amount of foods that's there. When we talk about school lunches, and I know this may be out of your purview, but it always bothers, as a guy who teaches, and I see all the food that gets wasted at these school breakfasts and lunches, and I know we're trying to get the kids healthier. Has there been any discussion about, all right, maybe we target the food so it actually gets eaten? Or once they get it, we don't really, you know, we've done what we can.
Yeah, well, one of the things that we have been working on to hopefully kind of answer that is we advocated last year for a program that is going to increase the amount of kids that are accessing school breakfasts.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of that, it's a program that is going to be including breakfast basically within the first 10 to 15 minutes of classes. So, you know, not only is that going to expand the amount of kids that can eat school breakfast, we hope it could also reduce some of the stigma around it, and hence reduce some of the waste. So that's kind of one of the things that we're doing.
And you have a lot of corporate sponsors who make food donations because the facility is just packed.
We do have corporate donors. You know, interestingly enough, increasingly what we're doing is purchasing more of our food.
Oh, is that right?
Especially,
okay.
Yeah, especially purchasing more of our produce. So last year, the Food Depository distributed about 70 million pounds of food. A third of that was fresh fruit and vegetables. You know, a couple of years ago, we heard about the drought in California.
Right.
And the kind of the lack of readily accessible produce. I mean, even though the drought is generally over, we're still feeling the effects of that. And produce donations have been lower. They fluctuate pretty regularly. So in order to make up for that, we're purchasing a lot more of our produce.
Well, that makes
sense. We purchase food. We get donations. We get food drive donations as well.
Well, as you said, a dollar will provide 3 meals. So if people can donate, go to chicagosfoodbank.org, volunteer, send some money, whatever you can do to help this problem. Paul, I really appreciate the time tonight. Hopefully we opened a few eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the conversation.
You're very welcome. We'll talk again. Take care. That's Paul Morello. He is with the Greater Chicago Food Depository. chicagosfoodbank.org is the website. If you can donate time or money, they would appreciate it. All right, let's do this. Then there's more. It's WGN.
There's probably no better resource for politics than Chuck Todd from Meet the Press. Here's how I book him now. I call Chuck, I go, oh, crap, you explain it.
Chuck Todd joins Steve Cochran tomorrow morning 6 to 10 on 720 WGN.
1-877 Cards for Kids. KARS Cards for Kids. 1-877 your kids. Donate your car today.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Donate your car today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, go to carsforkids.com. That's Cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
Walter Jacobson here for Hearing Health Center. Remember my friend who wanted to save money by getting his hearing aids at a big box store? Good thing he took my advice to go to Hearing Health Center. Turned out he had a medical problem diagnosed by the health center doctor. Another friend boasted about saving $2,000 buying hearing aids on the internet. He's not boasting now. He thought the three visits he got with the hearing aids would be plenty, not realizing there'd be repairs, adjustments, and professional maintenance. He told me he's already spent way more than the $2,000 he saved. Audiology should not be a one-shot deal. At Hearing Health Center, I have a lifetime relationship with my doctor. My satisfaction is guaranteed without any follow-up charges. Call 844-MY-HEARING for a free hearing checkup in Chicago, Park Ridge, Oak Brook, Naperville, or Highland Park. That's 844-MY-HEARING or book online at hearinghealthcenter.com. It could be the beginning of a beautiful relationship.
So I got my X-Chair and was such a huge fan and had such an amazing result from it that I ended up getting them for my entire staff. And I got to tell you, there's never been anything that we've done that has boosted morale or gotten as much productivity out of our team as just giving them these X-Chairs. It's amazing. Every day people are coming in literally saying how much better they feel, how much longer they're able to work, how much more we're able to produce. And so it has really been a game changer for our agency because literally people are staying at work longer and getting more out of their day because of a chair. I would have never thought that was possible.
Try X-Chair yourself in Chicago at Neocon June 12th through 14th. With 21st century design, the X-Chair is now available for $100 off. Order today using code Neocon for a free footrest. That's $100 off plus a free footrest with code Neocon at checkout. Go to GetXChair.com now. That's get, the letter X, chair.com. Or call us toll-free at 844-4X-CHAIR. That's 844-4X-CHAIR. Or try it at Chicago's Neocon.
Plan your home improvement and DIY projects Sunday mornings on WGN-TV. Watch House Smarts with Lou Manfredini at 10:30, followed by Weekend Workbench at 11. And then if you're like me, you watch those shows and you weep because you know that you cannot do any of the things that Lou does or that the people on Weekend Workbench do. And then you call somebody and they come over to your house and you do it and you go, oh, that was fantastic. 312-981-7200. Ruth wants to jump in on what we were talking about. Hi, Ruth.
Hi there. Brian, I love your show. I always love it when you're on.
Oh, thank you.
I had to jump in here tonight. I was a nurse at Chicago Public Schools for 3 or 4 years when I was looking for a different job. And I saw the waste.
Oh, yeah.
It was incredible. The quality of foods that are bought for those schools is just, it's garbage. Kids just, bananas that were unripe, oranges that were like hard like rocks, apples. I mean, why did they even bother? That's what I don't get. If you're going to give kids something to eat that's nutritious, for God's sake, give them something of quality. I don't understand.
Yeah, and I can't speak to the public schools, what they get. I teach or I sub out just outside the city. And the stuff I see the kids get, now granted, every once in a while you'll see some produce that maybe is a little overripe or something, but they're getting, you know, name brand cereal or yogurt or cheese sticks or apples, things like that, milk and juice. And I see the waste, like you said, Ruth, and it's amazing to me how much food gets thrown away. And if you multiply that by all the schools, not only in the city, but in the suburbs and all over the state, it's tough.
Just think of what we're wasting, what we're throwing out. I mean, somebody has to come up with a better idea about what to feed children in the morning that interests them, you know?
No, that was one of the things I brought up, but Paul was, that's not really their thing. They're trying to get the food out. But yeah, you're right. There has to be something that kids are going to eat. But the problem still becomes in the summer that those kids who maybe the ones who are really hungry aren't the ones throwing out the food during the school year. Either way, in the summer, they don't have access to anything.
Right. So. Well, I worked in some pretty poor schools. I worked all over the place. And, I saw it consistently. And really and truly, it was not food that was consumable, really. Yeah. You know, it was just, anyway.
Well, Ruth, I appreciate you jumping in. I got to get to the news, but thank you so much for the call.
Thank you.
Take care, Ruth. Bye-bye. All right, let's do this. And it is news time on WGN. Brian Noonan in for Justin Kaufman. After 10 o'clock, Nicholas David will be in studio performing for us. If you've not heard of this guy, you are going to want to make sure you pay attention because his music is unbelievable. He was a finalist on The Voice a few years ago, and he's in town in advance of his performance at Blues on the Fox, which is coming up this weekend in Aurora. So we'll be talking a little music on the other side of the news. But right now we're going to talk Father's Day a little bit. Now, Rob, the boys are graduating this weekend. Do they usually come through pretty well on Father's Day? Do all the kids? You've got more than just the boys.
You know what? I've gotten to the point now. I just give me a call. You know, wish me a happy Father's Day. Let's FaceTime. Let's chit-chat. Let's catch up. I don't get to spend as much time as I would like with the boys. So, anytime we get a chance to catch up is good time.
Father's Day, Do you make a big deal of Father's Day, or are you like me, where you're just like,
I've already got the tie, I've got the world's greatest dad, I've got the world's greatest dad mug.
Now, see, so that's weird because I have one of those too, and I don't know how we can both be the world's greatest dad.
Well, I mean, you want to have like a throwdown? You want
to
come down there?
We might have
to
figure something out. Well, I'm sure you and I aren't the only ones though, because I've seen shelves and shelves of these world greatest dads.
I've got my bandolier shrimp forks up here. Don't test me, pal.
I will come through with an entire Gatlin gun of shish kebab spears. I am not afraid of you. I do not get intimidated.
Yeah, no, just to catch up, and then for my dad, usually it's a card, and then take him out to breakfast, just spending time with him.
Yeah, that's I. Mother's Day, I don't know. Mother's Day is a big deal. Father's Day, take care of my mom. We take care of my wife.
Yeah.
Father's Day.
Well, they did carry him for 9 months. I mean,
sure. No, I don't
pull out the stops.
I don't blame them. I don't begrudge moms a wonderful Mother's Day at all. A nice brunch. It does strike me as funny that on Father's Day, though, dads have to make their own meal. Dads are encouraged to cook out. Hey, Dad, it's Father's Day. What are you cooking? Well, I guess whatever.
Yeah, Mrs. Rob or Mrs. Brian come to you. Sweetie, how about cooking out tonight? Doesn't that sound good?
Wouldn't that be terrific? Look what we got. One year, and my wife and daughter, they're pretty good about Father. One year, they got me the grill. And I was like, oh, okay. And they're like, yeah, put it together, and then you can, cook us something. Fantastic. I don't know. I found this list today, though, of it's called Weird Father's Day Gifts That Even a Normal Dad Will Love. I want to find out, dads, you can be honest if you want to share. 312-981-7200. Best and worst gifts that you've gotten for Father's Day. Because it comes a point when your kids are little, you don't judge. You know, they make you something at school. That's cool if they're still in school. Or, you get, like Rob said, the world's best dad, the number one dad T-shirt, whatever. And that's great, Or maybe the kids will make you a little something. I remember getting, like, geared for work, the barbecue apron with my daughter had painted some stuff on there, which always mean a lot to dads. So you scoff. And then you get older, and like Rob said, you just want to spend some time. But here are some weird gifts that even a normal dad will love. Now, they say a normal dad would love this. I have, Rob is a dad, I am a dad. Our wonderful engineer Adam is also a dad. He's running around in here getting things set up for Nicholas David. As normal or abnormal as we are, I don't think any of us would want the Bruisies. It is an inflatable bra that holds beer. Rob, would you wear that around the house?
What's it called?
It's called a Bruisie.
A Bruisie?
It's a Bruisie. It's a bra-shaped holster device designed to hold beers in breast-shaped pouches. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, given my current shape, I mean, that could serve two functions, helping support things.
You think? Well, no,
it's
not support. The beer, the pouches are filled with beer.
Oh, the
so
pouches
now you've
are
got
filled
your,
with beer.
Your moobs, and then you've got the beer boobs on top of them. So you're doubling your chest area.
I'd have to say no.
All right. Yeah, I didn't. This was the one of the few on this list that I went, there's no chance. First of all, I don't know where people would buy these. Now, the other one that I would wear only in the house or only on the patio if my daughter had given this to me, the Beer King Crown. Remember the helmets that had the two beers on them, the one on each side? This is a crown. It says Beer King. So those were the goofiest of the whole thing. Now, this is pretty cool. A stormtrooper-shaped decanter. If you're a Star Wars fan, or even if not, a nice decanter. I'd put some bourbon in there, sit it on the shelf. I'd take a big swig out of the Star Wars head. That would be good. A lot of geek people would do that, too. Stormtrooper, every shot should be this good. Then there's a dumbbell-shaped beer mug. I would use that, too, because I'm a goof, let's be honest. This one I would love, but I know my wife would throw it immediately in the garbage and my neighbors would call the city on me. It's a nonconformist gnome. So it's a gnome that sits in your yard, but instead of waving to people, it's flipping people off. Solid gold gnome just flips people off. I would imagine I could put that in my backyard. I don't see me being able to put it out front, like on the porch next to the welcome mat, so the mailman sees it every day, or visitors coming. Some people who coming to my door, I wouldn't mind giving them the flip off. A lot of beer stuff. The beer sippy cup. The welcome to the gun show coffee mug. I would do that. That looks like it's like two biceps, so it's two handles.
That's like manliness.
That is very manly.
Which, not to get off the topic
too much here. Let's
reminds me of a T-shirt that I saw a guy wearing downtown. I don't want to get political here, but it said, Obama can't take away these guns, and it had arrows pointing to his biceps.
I've noticed a lot of guys who wear the gun show shirts.
Yeah.
Don't really have guns. They have Derringers, which I guess technically are guns, but they're very small guns. I think if you're going to, like, if you have a gun show coffee mug, or you're wearing that Obama can't take away these guns T-shirt, or Suns Out, Guns Out, Bro Tank, you better have some guns, some howitzers. Don't come at me with a little, 22.
Or at the very least, get the shirt two sizes too small to accentuate what you have.
Well, but then you run the risk of the shirt being so small, it's accentuating things that you don't want to accentuate, like your giant beer guts or your moves. And then you've got, the guys in the kid shirt going, oh, I'm all pumped up. No, you're like a tube of Pillsbury Danish that once I hit it on the counter, you're just going to just explode everywhere. You don't look good at all. Not at all. I don't know what's this. Is it sad to say that I know exactly what I'm getting for Father's Day this year because I picked it out?
No, it's all right. What are you getting?
I'm getting a Tommy Bahama shirt.
Because those are nice.
They are. We were in New Orleans. They had an outlet store.
Ooh.
A Tommy Bahama outlet. I couldn't believe it because I had never had one because they're a little bit pricey, those shirts. And I got one as a gift from somebody at Christmas time. And we were in New Orleans and we were walking by and I said, oh, look at this outlet store. And we went in, and the prices were incredible. And so my wife pick one out. I'll give it to you for Father's Day. All right. So I know what I'm getting. It's going to look stylish.
Anytime you pop on a Tommy Bahama shirt, you just feel like cranking up the Jimmy Buffett, you know?
I just want to always live and dress like I'm on vacation. Well, you saw me today. People were giving me a hard time because I've got some linen pants on and a nice linen shirt. I'm all, summer. It's summertime. It's
you
been
look,
90 the
you
last
look relaxed,
few days.
Man. You look relaxed. I like the outfit.
Thank you. You did. Some of the other people here mocked a little bit.
What else is on that list? Any bourbon items?
There's actually no booze on this list, which makes it a bad list. Mm. There's a Darth Vader waffle maker. There's a Daddy in the World's Longest Poo book, which I don't know. I don't know if that's something you want to read to the kids at night. As literary achievements go, Daddy in the World's Longest Poo isn't exactly the places you'll go. It's more like, the places Dad goes. It's a gripping true life tale. Explains why Dad takes so much time in the bathroom. So there you go. Now, this seems like fun, but again, I would be mocked endlessly. The Gorilla Gym. you hook it onto your door jamb, and you know the swings that gorillas and monkeys have in the zoo? Kind of like a trapeze? It just, you just swing in the house. I wouldn't mind some bourbon. That would be a nice gift. This would be good, too. The Darth Vader lightsaber chopsticks. Eat a lot of sushi at home, Rob?
Not at home, but I'll get it at, you know, well, high-end retailers.
You could carry these around like a pool shark. And then when you go to a sushi place, pull out your own chopsticks, your Darth Vader lightsaber chopsticks.
Now, do they light up?
No, unfortunately, they do not.
Oh.
They look like it, though. They look like they would light up. But, sorry. That's that. I don't know. So that's part of the list. It's some fun stuff, some goofy stuff. All right, we have irony. Little Alanis Morissette, Isn't It Ironic? We'll get to that after this on 720 WGN.
She said, honey, come in. There's a giant tornado bearing down on you. But he didn't want to stop mowing the lawn. The picture's gone viral, and that guy's joining us at 1:30. Plus, interest rates are ticking up, so what should you do now?
It's John Williams on 720 WGN.
They say the proof is in the pudding, but I think it's actually in your hair. Violetta Padromedic here to tell you that Ovation Cell Therapy is what you need this summer. Wet, wavy beach hair is impossible to manage if you have dry, brittle hair. The proteins and amino acids in Ovation Cell Therapy helps revive your hair, giving you visibly healthier hair that's easy to scrunch poolside. The cell therapy treatment works even better when you pair it with Ovation's clarifying shampoo. It removes product buildup and chemicals from chlorine and salt water. Ovation's making it easy for you to try both. Get the clarifying shampoo free when you order Ovation Cell Therapy's treatment. Both products are clinically proven and clearly a winning combo. It's only going on for a limited time, so hurry. No one likes to miss out on free. Go to ovationhair.com. New customers can save even more by selecting WGN Radio in survey at checkout. You can't lose. Guaranteed or your money back. Go to ovationhair.com.
Back in the olden days, hard-working people who needed to buy something had to walk into a bank and fill out long forms to get what was called a personal loan. All you needed was a job and decent credit. Ah, the good old days.
Whoa, old-timer. Personal loans are even better than ever at 35cash.com. 35cash.com is the innovative digital way to get a personal loan. Just visit 35cash.com, click on the Get Started button, and tell us about yourself. Your information is quickly placed in front of a network of lenders who want to offer you a loan. 35cash.com is a safe and secure way to shop for a personal loan for up to $35,000 in as little as 5 minutes. Do you have a job and good credit? Do you need to consolidate your debt? Get the loan you need the simple way by visiting 35cash.com. That's 35cash.com. The good old days of convenient personal loans are back and better than ever at 35cash.com. Not available in all states, subject to lender approval.
Sounds like the sound I make when I have water in my ear. I'm just like trying to open my mouth real wide to pop my eardrums. At least put on glasses. Put your glasses on. Are you studying?
I took my contacts.
Oh, I took your contacts on. Huh? Right. That was kind of weird. Electronica. What is that?
It's Kid Cudi.
Kid Cudi. I've heard
Rat-a-tat.
Of Kid Cudi. Rat-a-tat? Mm-hmm. Tat-tat?
Nope. That's the cover band.
Just Rat-a-tat.
Rat-a-tat-tat-tat.
All right. I can't really talk to you and have the music going. It's a weird combination. That's all right. I mentioned irony. Remember the story about the guy who robbed a bank because in Kansas City because he said he didn't want to stay at home with his wife? Well, turns out the 71-year-old man who robbed a Kansas City, Kansas bank last September told police he hoped to land in prison to escape his wife. He told a federal judge Tuesday that heart surgery had left him depressed and unlike himself when he committed the crime. So guess what the judge did? Yes, sentenced him to 3 years supervised probation and home confinement. Yes, so now he has to stay home. Turns out, though, before I get too mean to Lawrence John Ripple, he had had heart surgery, and I didn't know this, but I guess a lot of people, after they have those kind of surgeries, become depressed. And he never went to get it looked at or get diagnosed, so he just would get irritable. And that was part of what happened. So he goes into this bank. He hands the teller a note, says, I have a gun, give me money. The teller gave him $2,900, and then he just sat down in the lobby and waited for police. And later told authorities he had written out a robbery note in front of his wife, and he told her he'd rather be in jail than at home. I've had arguments with my wife, and I'm sure you have too, but it wouldn't be jail. I'll go somewhere else and not go home. Would jail be your first pick if you weren't able to go home, Rob? Probably not.
Nah,
jail would be the last place I'd ever. I'm too pretty to go to jail. Plus, the gun show is not loaded up enough to go to jail.
I've got soft hands too, bro. Don't worry about it.
No, I'm not. There's not a chance. Do you ever think about it, though? Like, you watch a movie or TV where a guy goes to jail, and, like, when Oz was on, remember Oz on HBO?
Yeah.
Too brutal. I could only watch the first season. It was horrific. But I realized right then, I better toe the line because there's no chance I can go to jail.
I took a tour of Alcatraz,
oh,
stood in one of the cells, and they had the door closed.
Ugh.
And man, oh man, if that doesn't scare you straight, nothing will.
Now, was that one of those tiny little one-man cells on Alcatraz?
A little one-man cell.
Oh, no. That would, yeah.
Long days.
Oh, man, just staring at the walls, praying you don't have to take a shower or go to the bathroom or do anything. For 20 years, that would be awful. Yeah, I couldn't do it. But this guy, Lawrence, he wanted to. Turns out, as I said, the depression, he called the robbery a cry for help, so the judge cut him some slack, and everybody went in, and he apologized to the bank. He apologized to the teller. He said he didn't really mean to frighten her. And the teller was one of the people, and the bank president were two of the people who were pleading with the judge for leniency to give him a break. So they gave him a break. He'll, he'll get punished a little bit. But I just thought it was funny that a guy who would rather be anywhere but home now can't leave home. Here's something ingenious. A woman in California, her grandmother was in the hospital. That's a sad story. Grandmother was hospitalized for 3 days. She was feeling lonesome, of course, and she wanted to see her dog. Well, you and I both know dogs are not allowed in the hospital, correct? Unless they're service animals. Which I think is kind of silly. I think if somebody's really sick, there should be a little wing where you're able to bring pets. Because we all know how good our pets can make us feel. And if you're really, really sick, why not? Why not allow your dog to come into the hospital? Or a cat. And yeah, I know some people are allergic to them, but that's why you have a special, a little wing, a little ward down at the end of the hallway. It can't be that big a deal. Well, anyway, this woman was not going to put up with the fact that her grandmother was in the hospital and missed her dog. So what'd she do? She disguised her dog as a baby. Carried it right in. Boy, your baby's kind of ugly. Shut up. Why are you making fun of my dog-faced baby? 21-year-old Shelby Hennick was passing by her grandma's house when her mom called and said that her grandma Donna was missing her dog Patsy. I'm also not a fan of dogs with people names. That's just me. You have a dog, Rob?
I don't. I've got 4 kids, Brian.
Well, listen.
No room for a dog.
Now you sound like my mom when I was growing up with 4 brothers. No way in hell we're having a dog. I don't know why my mom's voice was that deep.
And look, we are never getting a dog because I've told the kids,
yes,
you need to learn to pick up your toys before we ever get a dog. They never pick up their toys.
Well, that's good then.
There you go.
You teach them a lesson. Nobody gets a dog to pick up the toys. Now we got this new dog who drags toys all over the house. This dog is more of a pig than any dog we've ever had. Every day I put his toys in his house when he sleeps at night. Every day he gets up, takes them out, they're all over the house. Dog doesn't listen. But anyway, that's not why you called. You called to hear the story about Shelby and Patsy. Patsy the dog dressed like a baby. So she's a veterinary technician, this 21-year-old Shelby, and she decided to wrap Patsy in a blanket, put her over her shoulder, and managed to sneak her into the hospital looking like a baby. What kind of clientele does this hospital have that a dog baby passes muster? You got to figure there's some homely-looking folks rolling through this hospital, right? It's not a Beverly Hills hospital if you've got a dog, baby. So she took some photos, posted them to Twitter over the weekend. They soon went viral. Patsy was quiet the whole time and actually kept licking my arm, she told the paper. Her grandmother was thrilled with the surprise, as she should be, despite thinking it was an actual baby at first. I'm trying to figure out. Now, I've seen babies swaddled. You ever swaddle a baby in their lease? Do any baby swaddling? Weren't you a nanny?
I've babysat a lot.
Babysat? Do you swaddle any babies?
My cousin has a baby.
Does it look like a dog? Would you ever mistake a dog for a baby?
What kind of dog was it?
Doesn't say. It can't be very big. I don't think it was like a pit bull.
I'm a boxer, so I don't
a boxer
think
would be big.
Out.
I don't think it was a boxer. I don't think it was. My guess
almost
is
a little boxer puppy all wrapped up like a burrito.
Wow, that got weird fast. That got strange on a lot of levels.
Some image-inducing.
That was nice.
Vocabulary.
I like how you paint a picture.
Thank you.
It's all in this medium. You must paint a picture.
I know.
Because we don't have pictures. You did.
Yeah.
All wrapped up like a burrito.
I don't think I would ever mistake a dog as a baby. The other day I was shopping and a lady had one of those purses with a little chihuahua in it or something. It freaked me out because it was like looking at me in the store. And I was like, what the?
Yeah, I don't want to see dogs popping out of luggage. I don't want to see you carrying a dog in a purse. Are you really?
Totally.
First of all, I'm not a fan of those tiny little dogs. I'm going to be honest with you.
You are just... You're ratting on everything today.
I don't listen. Why? Why worry about it? People with little dogs, they know I don't like them. I've said it before. This is not a secret. I'm not leaking anything. This is not classified information.
How big are your dogs?
My dogs are about 50 pounds each.
Okay.
They're okay sized dogs. My last dog was 95 pounds. He was big.
He was a good dog.
I liked him. He was a big dog. No, 50 pounds is okay. Anything I can pick up football size or smaller is not a good dog. That's not a dog. I need
what do you
a dog.
Think it's like a cat?
Or no,
a stuffed
it's
animal.
Yeah, it's a toy. It's something. It's yappy. I don't like it. I want it because first of all, I have to walk my dogs, and me walking a dog that's a pound and a half
looks ridiculous.
I want a dog of substance that I can wrestle, and a dog that might kill a possum in my backyard, like my dog did a couple weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
My dog today. There was a bunny who was just really gutsy because that bunny was like not moving. I brought my dog out to relieve himself, and he like froze up and he was like watching this bunny. Jocko, no, and so I pulled him away. But then we were out like 2 hours later. The bunny literally was still there.
Well, then I would say if something happens, that bunny is gonna get what it asked for.
Yeah.
It gets exactly
although...
what it asked for. No, it's sad when you don't when you realize your dog is an actual animal and kills something. Then you look at it differently.
I don't think he could. Well.
You never said. See, I never thought.
Fast.
I never thought my dogs could get something.
His teeth are just like really, I don't think he could bite through it.
I don't think they bite through it. Like this possum was all in one piece. There was no blood. They shake him like that. I guess I didn't watch the murder happen. I just saw the aftermath. I arrived on the scene.
Like your security.
After. Yeah, I don't listen. Like I have cameras around my compound. I have armed security. Nobody gets near me. They didn't even see what happened to the possum. Somehow the possum might have just dropped from the sky dead, but I don't think that's the case. There was no blood. There was no bite marks, and my dog was not dripping, He didn't look like a homicidal maniac with blood dripping from its mouth.
Did he have, like, a fire behind his eyes, like the animal had been unleashed?
No, but the other one was looking at him, and I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure I know which one did it. But they weren't going to tell on each other, and the one was just looking at the other like, dude, you are... you went way over the line there. You crossed the bend, my friend.
You just killed something.
You killed something. All right. Speaking of what, I just killed some time. But we're going to remedy that by doing this. Then it'll be news time, and then Nicholas David will be in studio to give us a fine performance, and we'll learn all about what's happening at Blues on the Fox in Aurora this weekend. Brian Noonan for Justin Kaufman on 720 WGN. Did the concert go off at Northern Island tonight? That's where Paul Simon was supposed to be.
He posted a picture.
Or your cousin posted a picture. Then it really happened.
It must have happened.
It must have happened. I was neglectful. I did not say hello to Esmeralda. Hello, Esmeralda.
Hi.
I didn't know if you were officially in or not. Or if you were just getting, I'm not here at this time of night. I don't know what time.
You can call on me whenever you want.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, you are a team player. Congratulations.
I'll look
on
frightened
your,
for a minute, but
congratulations on being part of the Silver Dome Award.
Oh,
too,
thank
by
you.
The way.
That's thanks
very,
so much.
Good for you and the Nick DiGilio show. Congratulations.
Yes.
All right. Now, this is very exciting because, in Chicago, right here in Millennium Park last week was Blues Fest. Well, not to be outdone, The 21st annual Blues on the Fox Fest is happening this weekend at River Edge Park in Aurora. We're going to hear from Nicholas David, hear some wonderful music in a couple of minutes. But right now, I want to say hello to Vice President of Programming and Sales at River Edge Park, Jim Jarvis. Hello, Jim. Thanks for coming in. I know you guys were worried about you, but you're here. Thank goodness.
I will say, Nicholas actually rolled into town at 9:15, and wow. I was even sweating it because I'm getting texts from his wife because there's weather and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, sure. It's a horrible day to have to drive.
And God bless that dude. Like, let's remember, I literally called him on Monday to be like, hey, you want to come in early? And can we do? And he was like, absolutely. I'm all about this.
It's great because he did. Cool. He came in a day early, and so he's going to be with us and do a couple of songs, which I'm looking forward to. So you actually were instrumental in opening River Edge Park, is that correct?
I was.
Correct?
So there was a team of us, Tim Rader and Val Devine and all sorts of folks. So in 2013, it came true. You know, the mayor of Aurora at the time, Tom Weisner, had this dream of, they had this beautiful space they weren't using in downtown Aurora, right along the river, 30 acres. And so I think it was $14 million, and they literally brought nature and arts and mankind together, and it's just a really cool place. Like, on one side, the entire river, you see downtown Aurora as the backdrop behind folks on stuff, and you've got this beautiful stage, $100,000 LED light wall built in, and it's a really, really cool place to see a show, man. It's a totally different vibe than anywhere else.
Now, where'd the Blues on the Fox used to be?
So what it was really, Aurora's got this amazingly rich history of blues. Back in the 1930s, there's the building, the tallest building downtown Aurora, is called Leland Towers. And so in those days, RCA Bluebird Records would go up to what was called the Sky Club in those days. The acoustics were perfect, and they would literally record songs. So in those days, so it was guys like, you know, it was big, William, Big Boy, Joe Williams, and Washboard Sam, and Walter Davis, and Tampa Red, and Sweet Peas, Spivey. And so all these great people would come out here, and it became kind of a mecca for, and everyone thinks about Chicago and the blues.
I was going to say, I know everybody's familiar with Chicago blues, but Aurora blues is this thing I had never heard of.
Yeah, and so it was this cool place. Everybody came out, and there was this really well-known producer. His name was Lester Melrose. And he was the guy who was kind of a driving force in the blues producing in those days. So people would come out there and do it. So what this was 21 years ago, it literally started as a street festival paying homage to Leland Tower and these great sessions that took place there. And it's evolved over the time. And so it went from the street festival to now this weekend. If, you know, we have good weather, we'll probably have about 13,000 people over 2 days.
Wow.
And let me say this, like we track everything nowadays.
Everything's
people come
data.
Through. And so what we do is, you know, we had 502 different zip codes. Last year, we covered 25 different states and 4 different countries, which includes Canada, Germany, Japan, and the UK. So people come from all over, man. And,
wow.
And it's cool. And the thing I always say about a blues festival and blues fans, totally different, right? You're never going to see Buddy Guy playing Wrigley Field like Pearl Jam did for 44,000. Right. But blues fans that come out, man, they are music lovers, and they love soul, and they love gospel and country and rock and blues, and they love music. So it's very much of this communal thing that comes out. Same thing happened last weekend in Chicago. And I always say it kind of feels like a Woodstock, man. Everybody's there, and a lot of families, because blues is about families as well. My own kids, I have a 4 and a 10-year-old, been coming for years. And it's just a really, really cool place to be, man.
So if people haven't been to River Edge Park, it's general admission, right? You can bring in your bag, chairs. How does it work there?
Yeah, so what it was when we first opened it up, we actually had seating that we would put in there, and we survey everybody, and we do after every single show to this day. Well, we kept hearing from people, the people especially that we had permanent seats, and then we had bag chairs and lawn, and overall people were like, man, I'd rather have a bag chair out there. It's totally cool to do it. So we scrapped all the seats after all that time, and we were like, all right, screw it, let's go with this. And people love it. So you bring your own bag chairs. What we do is we line the entire park with these white lines, and we ask people to put the legs, and we have hosts that help people who've never been there before. You put your the back of your chair on that white line, and what it does is it creates an aisle. So, you know, it's not like Ravinia where you got to crawl over people, man. Right. Everybody's cool about it. So you have aisles. You can get in and out and go to the bathroom, do whatever else. We allow coolers in there. You can't bring alcohol, but you can bring your own food in there. Plus, we have food trucks. We have a vendor, Genoa, so you can eat anything from tacos and ribs to these chips that should come with a cardiologist that will kill you if you actually finish those things.
Very nice.
Yeah. So if anybody has been there, man, and it's not far from the city. Like tonight, I made it in 45 minutes from downtown Aurora out to here. And, you know, probably an hour drive during the day on stuff.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, man, it's just a unique, truly unique place. And I've been lucky enough to be a part of this for a while now. We get about 100,000 people that year that we do the park. And we run the gamut. Like this year, we got Fogarty coming out. It's going to be really cool. We're doing Peter Frampton, Steve Miller. That show's sold out. But, you know, we've had Earth, Wind, and Fire and Hall & Oates and kind of runs the gamut. And so,
very cool. Well, we'll talk more about who's going to be on the lineup, but we got to take a quick break, and then we are going to introduce the man who broke all land speed records to get down here. Nicholas David is going to join us. He's opening the show on Saturday.
Yeah, right?
He's our first act
on
Saturday. Very exciting, and we'll talk to Nicholas and hear some music from him, and we'll talk more to Jim Jarvis, who is the Vice President of Programming and Sales at River Edge Park in Aurora. It's the Blues on the Fox Fest this weekend. If you go to riveredgeaurora.com, you can get all the information. riveredgeaurora.com. More on the other side. It's WGN. Play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit chicagotribune.com today. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. I have Jim Jarvis in the studio. He is the Vice President of Programming and Sales at River Edge Park. But I also, now Adam, will Nicholas be on the same monitor, the mixer mic? There we go. Nicholas David is with me. He is a wonderful musician. If you have not heard of Nicholas, I don't know where you've been, because the guy is phenomenal. You may recognize the name from The Voice. In 2012, Nicholas was a finalist on The Voice, did a wonderful job. People loved him. He was on Team CeeLo. Welcome, first of all. I know you just drove down from Minneapolis, St. Paul, where you live, and you just got here. I could tell when you walked in, it was one of those, oh my God, I can't, this is a nightmare. Not being here was a nightmare, just the ordeal of getting here must have been a nightmare.
Right, I was telling Jim on the way here, man, it's like, got three kids deep and running around. I'm like, right now in my life is not the time for sleeping.
You can sleep when you're dead. Sleeps for the week. Yeah, three kids and then trying to get out of the house. I got to get to Chicago. I got a thing. But Dad, we want you to hear doing stuff. So you had done a lot of stuff before you ever went on The Voice, right?
Yeah, I was been taking the music from the heart for the heart, been playing since basically I got out of high school. And I actually had a scholarship to sing jazz at Roosevelt University in Chicago, but I turned it down. One of the only regrets of my life, really, to be honest with you. I've made, you know, a lot of ups and downs, in and outs, but, you know, not too many regrets, and that was one of them.
Wow.
So I was playing music around the Midwest, and once I started, you know, three kids deep, and we were into our first kid, I was like, man, these 2 a.m., 3 a.m. nights are going to be wild, and it's like, you know, a different world. I'm like, how do we do this? So we started playing restaurants and earlier gigs, you know, to where I could bring food home for the family on top of being home, you know, before 2, 3, 1 o'clock. And in the middle of doing that, I was doing some voiceover work, and I had got a call from my voiceover agent. She's like, you want to try out for The Voice? I was like,
wow.
I was like, no, thank you.
Really? Now, what was... Is it because, you know, that reality show talent contest kind of thing? It's not artistic enough, or
not any of that. It was just where I was at in my life. You know, it was like the only TV I watched was The Simpsons, and then Curious George with my oldest boy. You know, just cartoons and stuff like that. Not really watching TV because I was gigging at nighttime and stuff. And so, but I was one of 50. They wanted the bearded guy in the snow playing guitar, and then the wow part.
That was on the casting call.
That was on just the to try out.
Yeah,
like you could do private auditions, or you could do like a cattle call thing. What they call it, you know. I think the one in Chicago was at McCormick Center, if I remember correctly.
Oh, so yeah, that's one of those where everybody shows up.
Everybody, and then so we went to a different spot. But the wow part was in 2012. I was booking my own shows. I had January through March full, except one weekend. And so I wanted to fill it, you know, because that's, you know, a musician. I'm like, wow, every week I pull that money on the table. I couldn't fill it for the life of me, man. I could not fill it. So I truly feel through God's grace was that weekend, like, you know, when my agent said, okay, they want the guy, the bearded guy in the snow. Okay. I'm like, okay, what do I got to do? They're like, you got to go do a private audition. I'm like, where is it? They're like, Chicago. I was like, wow, a chance to, you know, college gives you that potential to elevate your life to a new level. I was like, wow, here's the swing back to knock out the regret. I go, when is it? They go, the first weekend in March, that one weekend.
The one weekend.
That I was trying to fill. So I leaned back and I said, you got this. I'll be here. Eyes and ears will be here.
It's destiny then. At that point, there's you got to go, right?
Right.
So I want to get into the whole story about The Voice and your career and everything else. And I want to tell people thefeelin.com is Nicholas's website, thefeelin.com. Nicholas David is here. Let's do a song. Can we do a song?
Sure.
What are you going to do for us?
Here's a tune called Cool. For sharing is never wrong. Lay down your fears and take my side so we can walk together. We can walk together. I did it again. I lost my cool. My cool. Did it again. Play. I come broken and true. Come back to you,
very nice.
Thank you, Mel.
That's Nicholas David. He is going to be at Blues on the Fox. He is opening the show on Saturday. We'll get all that information. We'll talk more to Nicholas, and we'll get the lineup and who else is going to be with him at Blues on the Fox. And again, thefeelin.com is Nicholas's website. Get there, check it out. His new single is Look at Me, which I think we're going to hear later on. So a lot more to come here on WGN. Nicholas likes your choice in bumps, Lise. Nicholas David is in studio with me. He will be opening up day two of Blues on the Fox, which is happening tomorrow and Saturday at River Edge Park in Aurora. Jim Jarvis is here with us too. He's Vice President of Programming and Sales at River Edge Park. Who are some of the other fine acts that we're going to see this weekend, Jim?
So Friday night, man, it's a Queen of Blues night. We're kicking off with Shamika Copeland. And she takes the stage at 7 o'clock, and then Mavis Staples.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the one and only, man. Mavis is coming on at 9. And the thing about Mavis especially, you know, like she just got done winning that award last year from the president. But she was with us 2 years ago, and one of the biggest regrets I've ever had in my long career of what I've done is I've had to cut Mavis Staples after 23 minutes on stage.
Oh.
Because a huge storm was blowing in. And we had this meeting like, oh, my God. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
And they're like, here, you got, we're shamboing in back. Like, who's going to do this? And not only did I have to pull Mavis Staples, but I had to pull Trombone Shorty that night as well. And Trombone kept shaking me off.
But here's the thing. Is it better to have pulled them or to let them stay on stage and get electrocuted?
Yes, absolutely.
When you weigh it out, the cosmic scale, you go, all right, I'd rather be known as the guy who had to cut them short than the guy who stay up there and play.
Well, the one who killed Mavis or Trombone Shorty,
exactly.
Right. And the killer was when we, and Mavis couldn't have been more, you know, gracious about all that stuff and really nice. And Trombone kept shaking us off. And long story short, I had to have the dudes turn the electricity off and turn his mic off. Everybody looked at each other. They went to the side of the stage, grabbed acoustics. He grabbed his trombone. And they kept playing acoustically until it started raining.
New Orleans.
I was like, oh, yeah, dude, man, you just, you know. So anyhow, those guys are coming. And then Saturday, obviously, Nicholas is kind enough to be there, man. And you're kicking it off. We're excited to have you. It's going to be awesome. And then a guy named Guy King. He's originally from Israel, you know. And you don't really think about blues in Israel, and neither did most people there.
Yeah.
But he's a dude that literally, when he was a kid, man, he would walk 4.5 or 5 miles to a record store, hoping that his favorite blues album was there.
Jeez.
He would get there. It wouldn't be there. He'd have to order it, walk 4.5 or 5 miles back. And then when it finally came in, go again. And he came to U.S., and the guy just tears it up.
That's
and he lives in Chicago. He's awesome. Then at nighttime, we got Elvin Bishop. And in fact, Nicholas and I, man, we were just talking about him, right? And he was one of the dudes, is the reason you took this gig, because we had Elvin, right?
I couldn't even believe it. I was coming back from a weekend. When I'm off the road, I coach my kids' baseball.
Very cool.
I got to come in the
dugout. Do you dress like this when you're coaching baseball?
To be honest with you, I do. I really do.
Just to freak out the other team? I like it.
Coolest national anthem and Little League baseball team has ever. Like, it's Nicholas every time.
No, that my only rule is, though, the head coach is like, you want to go coach third or first base? I was like, no, it's about the kids. I stay in the dugout and keep it.
Very
keep it
nice.
As low-key as I
low
can.
Low-key. Nice.
But I picked up the phone. You know, my agent called. He's like, yo, you want to, you know, you've heard the news about Greg Allman.
Yeah.
And you hear the news about Devin and da-da-da. So he's like, well, do you want to fill in on this? And then he sent me a little link, and I saw, first guy I saw, man, Elvin Bishop, was like, yes, I didn't even have to think twice.
And that dude is the most unlikely blues dude, right? Like, because he looks like he should be a farmer. He wears that plaid shirt and those overalls, one's unstrapped. But, man, when he hits it, like, he tears that thing up like no farmer ever uses any tool. And we finished it off with Johnny Lang. The guy was just a prodigy at, like, 12 out of Fargo, North Dakota.
Right,
And then, you know, started hitting it when he was 16. I think they actually gave him a band. They changed the name of the band to, like, Kid Johnny and
Kid Johnny
whatever,
Lang
right?
and the Big Bang, I do believe is what it was.
And he's been tearing it up since. He's, like, 35 or 36 now. And so it's just an amazing, amazing lineup. And I hate to say this, like, you know, any of you guys seeing any of you guys for $20 would be amazingly cheap. Seeing all you guys for $20 and then seeing Shamika or Mavis, you know, the night before
it's
for
ridiculous.
That. It really is. So it's a true weekend of just absolutely killer music of different kinds across the board.
And if you need to get that lineup, it's RiverEdgeAurora.com. RiverEdgeAurora.com. Yep. Get out there and enjoy. All right, Nicholas. Now we've heard about the guys walking 4 miles for an album. You grew up in the Twin Cities, right?
Yes, sir.
Did you have to walk 4 miles to get an album?
No.
How'd you get started? How did music become your passion?
Music, man. You can look at these hands right now. These are my grandfather's hands. I'm one of 26 grandkids.
Wow.
He played the accordion and the piano. Played that polka music, man.
Like, oh, is that right?
Every party, man. I was at his side, and then before I knew it, I was playing with him, man, on the side. playing with him. Nice. And then like a year or two after I started to play, I played for my grandfather, my other grandfather, and he got sick. So I was like playing for him, but I'm getting farther away from the story. I'm just saying though, my grandfather's, you know, pushed me in that direction. Yeah. Then when I started to listen to music, my first CD was actually Danny Elfman, dude. I love orchestra music. So my first CD was Batman Returns.
Really?
Yeah, the Batman Returns soundtrack. When they used to have them
in the cardboard box. Yeah, yeah.
I cut it out. I still got both pieces at home, like the front and the back. But yeah, so that was my first, and I think it was like we went to the mall or something like that, because I don't know if they had the CDs at the other places.
Yeah.
It was like a Sam Goody or something like that, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and it's funny, you mentioned the big boxes and stuff, and now when people order your stuff, you're very green. It's all, you know, small packaging,
we do it all in recycled paper and stuff, and then we even use like plant-based, soy-based inks as well, you know, figure.
Very cool.
Yeah,
and you've got your own label, right?
Yeah, Wake the World.
Wake the World. And again, it's thefeelin.com. Now, that's your nickname, right?
Yeah.
That's how it came to be. How'd you get that up in the Minnesota? Because the Twin City music scene is pretty incredible.
Yeah, man, it's been the funk, the music's been bumping there
for a long time.
Underground, yeah, man, for many, many a year. To be honest with you, man, I moved out to Colorado in the beginning of the 2000s. Okay. I moved back and started playing music and just started playing out on the scene. And I honestly couldn't tell you how I got that name before I knew it. It was just my name, The Feeling.
People started calling you that.
Feeling. The joke was Felon or
yeah.
Feeling. And if I was being a little frisky, they'd call me Feline. But like,
there,
man, I honestly couldn't tell you. But I think it just came again, man. Wherever, if it's two people or 200 or 2,000, I'm painting the wall with my spirit, man. You know, I'm feeling it. And so that's kind of, I think,
where
it came from.
Now, everybody, every time you talk to a musician, did you have influences? Because you're a very unique guy. You sound a little bit like Dr. John, but not. But and the whole thing is, you said you liked orchestra music, and you had a jazz scholarship, so we know you've got a varied background. When you decided, I'm going to make music on my own, were there influences, or did you just go, I'm doing whatever the hell I want?
Yeah, man, like I said earlier, my grandfather's,
yeah,
you know, big time, like, because...
So the polka music was your...
Truly, man,
yeah?
and just even the spirit of my grandfather, man.
Okay.
You know, he had, you know, my dad is one of seven kids. I'm one of 26 grandkids. And it was like my grandmother said it before she went up to the stars, man. She's like, it's all about the kids, right? And so they worked their butts off providing, you know, putting all seven of their kids through Catholic education and this and that. And so my grandfather played polka on the weekends, right?
Cool.
And so, like, I remember when I started playing, he got excited, like, you know, someone's following in my footsteps, kind of, you know.
Yeah,
kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah.
And he'd always be like, oh, you're going out of town. He'd always be like, how much you making? He's like, oh. And he'd be like, that one's not worth it. Like, even my wife, too, man. Like, I used to go up to St. Cloud, Minnesota on Wednesday nights. I used to drive, yeah, like, at 90 minutes, and I get $100.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a lot. That's $100.
Right.
My wife's like, you know that's not $100, right? You're not making $100. You know that.
Well, yeah, but still, when you're starting, that's what you
right.
do, right?
Right. But you know? I think a big part of that, man, was, you know, the influence was my grandfather's.
Very
big
cool.
Time.
Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to hear another song. Nicholas David is in the studio. Again, his website, The Feeling. That's how you can find him on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everywhere. It's The Feeling. If
that's
you just
right.
remember The Feeling, you're going to find Nicholas David. So we're going to hear another song in a minute, but we've got to do this because we got to pay the bills on WGN. That's probably doing it for Justin Kaufman, Elise Graham picking the bump music, getting thumbs up.
Everybody's heads bopping in the
Everybody's
studio
very
right
now. Excited.
You get that party started.
Yeah, you are.
Well, we only have 9 minutes left. Then Patty's party starts.
Warming it up for
you
Patty.
Were warming up for Patty? All right, that's fine. Nicholas David is in studio
yes,
with
ma'am.
Me. He will be at the Blues on the Fox this weekend at River Edge Park in Aurora. RiverEdgeAurora.com is where you can find all the lineups of times. $20, that is unbelievably cheap for 2 days for a day of music on Saturday and some great acts on Friday. So a lot going on. All right, I don't want to run out of time, so we're going to do the song first. And then hopefully we'll chit-chat. We could have stayed in here for hours because you are an interesting man.
I learned it from you.
No, it's wild to listen to. I wish people could listen to us off the air too because
right.
it's The stories are unbelievable. So you got to go see Nicholas David. You got to go to thefeeling.com. But let's are you going to do your new single for us?
Yeah, this was you asked me to do
this. I did ask you to do
it
because it's a wonderful song. So people should enjoy. It's the new single. It's called Look at Me.
Yes, now.
Sticks and stones never broke my bones. Now I'm rising back to see, 'cause love has made a mess of me. Love has made a mess of me. I see you in the words. Gravity as big as the ocean. I'm stuck here with the rest of me. Oh, 'cause love has made a mess of me. Love has made a mess of me. Life is a lesson, we all get burned. Look at me, mama, I'm the last to learn. Look at me, mama, I'm the last to learn. Look at me, mama, I'm the last to learn. Hesitation has no room to move anymore. These bricks are starting to break. I can see an opening where we remember live again. We remember how to live again. You can use your legs for standing. You can use your legs to run. These bricks won't break if you got a hammer. My voice is a hammer. I'm gonna build a mountain. Yeah. Because I'm tired of walking through walls. I'm tired of walking through walls. I'm tired. Life is a lesson, we all get burned. Look at me, mama, I'm the last to learn. Look at me, mama, I'm the last to learn. Look at me, mama, I'm the last to learn. Sticks and stones never broke my bones. Now I'm rising back to sea, 'cause love has made a mess of me. Love has made a mess of me. Love has made.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Nicholas David. That is his latest Look at Me. Unbelievable.
Thank you.
Thank you for playing that, because I was listening to that yesterday and I went, well, I hope he plays that tomorrow. So thank you for that. That was
You're
very
most
nice.
Welcome.
It was all right. So we only have a couple minutes left. And as I said, we could talk for hours. You had a career going, and then we started talking about it earlier. Then you get on The Voice,
yes,
and you do very well, and you're well received by the judges. The public loves you. How does your life then change from an artistic standpoint after that show is over?
Right, I'll try to condense it. I mean, basically, what you saw on TV is who I am. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it was like what was already there and what was already happening. Basically, just the circle got bigger.
Okay.
And I led with my heart, you know, so it was really wild, man, because, like, when the circle comes bigger and you spread your light, light attracts light, but also attracts darkness as well.
Yeah.
So there was a bunch of lessons.
I can only imagine.
That were wicked jammed into 5 years, you know, on top of running across the country, you know, with the momentum of the road.
Yeah.
Going to this place, going to that, going to this, and then you'd come home, and then you'd be at home, and then that momentum would still be pushing you on your back, right?
Yeah.
So it was like I learned the music business rather fast, and I still don't say I got it all down, you know, but I definitely learned a thing or two about it.
Now, are you still in the same house you were when you moved into it on the Voice?
Yeah, that was even wild too, man, you know, because in the middle of being on that show and the Wild Adventure, you know, we were like, we were renting from a place, and then so basically we didn't get kicked out, but the place we were renting from, they were like next door, our landlords lived next door, and they put both places for sale.
Okay.
So while I was out on the show, my wife called, she's like, the one house sold, so they're moving in on top, and then the next day they're like, actually, they're asking us to move out.
Oh.
I'm like, what? I'm like, I'm doing the Hollywood thing.
Yeah, you're out there.
But then the show finds out about this, and that's good TV.
Uh-huh.
Right? So then, so all of a sudden,
suddenly the guy with the beard in the snow doesn't have a house. Yeah, that is good TV.
It's just crazy, man. You could not write this story.
Suddenly
right?
You live next to CeeLo, brother. That's how that rolls.
Man.
But that was a wild thing too, man, you know, because as the thing kept unfolding, we got to meet Bill Withers like we did. Got to do media training with Jim Henson's best friend. I mean, it was a gas, you know, and then they were like, hey, so what are you thinking about moving out to Hollywood? Are you thinking about moving out to LA? I'm like, absolutely not. Sorry. I'll work here. I love it. It's awesome. But I mean, my home's in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was my home. I remember looking down because a lot of the clothes on the show were my own. So we like other people got, you know, the new clothes.
Sure.
But I got the pair of snakeskin boots, man. They gave me snakeskins, right? So I was looking at the snakeskin boots. Cobblestone, you know, it was like a cobblestone driveway, you know, and I'm like, man, I'm walking into this house. The only other time I was in this house was when the cameras were with us and we were on TV, man. It was just crazy. I was banging into boxes.
That's nuts.
I didn't know what I was doing, but again, man, colorful life, beautiful life, blessed life.
It's
eternally grateful, man.
And if you want to see Nicholas David, which you need to, get out to Aurora to River Edge Park this weekend. He is at Blues on the Fox. He is opening a Saturday show. What time does that all start on Saturday?
So Saturday, gates open at 2, and then Nicholas hits the stage at 3, man. And it's like a 90 minutes you're hitting it, right?
Yes, now.
Fantastic. All right. Nicholas's website, The Feelin'. That's how you find him on all social media. The Feelin', thefeelin.com. RiverEdgeAurora.com is where you can get all the information for Blues on the Fox. Jim, thank you for coming in. Thank you for arranging to have Nicholas come in a day early.
Thank
and
you
Nicholas,
so
it was it was an honor to meet you, man. I love your stuff, and I, you know, it's just great. So thank you. Thank you, and have a great weekend here in Aurora. All right, let's do this then. Patty's coming in. It's WGN.